Hi, this is your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. This is just a little pre-episode note because I want to apologize. I must have been still hungover from the con or tireder than I thought. In the recording, in the second half, like the end of the second hour or so of the recording, I mentioned that if you want to get the show notes for that episode where I talk about TotalCon 27, which took place in February of 2013, say the show notes for this are, and I give you a wrong web address. The show notes are at wargamingforums.com/WR87. That's right, wargamingforums.com/WR87. I give you the wrong one in the show itself. Ignore that. The only one that you want is wargamingforums.com/WR87. That'll let you see the show notes, get to all the links, allow you to post a comment to get in touch with me. All that kind of stuff. Please ignore all the other ones and please accept my most sincere apologies. Like I said, I must have still been, heavily hungover or something from the convention, or I was just too tired or something. But whatever the case was, I made an error and I am deeply sorry for it. I hope you don't go to the wrong show notes. In case you do, I'll have a little note at the top of the wrong show note web address, but the correct one last time is wargamingforums.com/WR87. My apologies one more time, and I hope you enjoy episode 87 of Wargaming Recon. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by 127games.com, home of the cheapest Access and Allies miniatures. Find them at 127games.com. This podcast is brought to you by Noble Knight Games, where satisfaction is guaranteed. Since 1997, Noble Knight Games has been serving gamers' needs globally. They stock over 100,000 new and out-of-print board games, role-playing games, CCGs, minis, and war games. They have it all. Noble Knight Games always deliver what they promise. Speedy shipping coupled with excellent and friendly customer service make shopping here a no-brainer. You'll find discounted pricing on most imprint games and reasonable prices on out-of-print and rare items. With over 15 years in the business, they know how to package your order so it arrives safely anywhere in the world. Want to transform your old games into that new item you've had your eye on? Check out their trading and selling your games section. They provide the shipping labels, you box up your games, and that's it. Don't forget to sign up for their weekly email newsletter where you can discover new and rare finds. Visit them online at NobleKnight.com. Hello, I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt, and you are listening to Wargaming Recon. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network that discusses historical and New England gaming. If you are interested in either of those, you came to the right place, and if not, I'm sure another show on the Troll in the Corner podcast network would be of interest to you. This is a very special episode of Wargaming Recon, because we are recording live from Total Confusion 27 here in Mansfield, Massachusetts. This is episode 87 of Wargaming Recon. So I'm just doing a little bit of audio input right now because I want to talk about some of the things that have happened here today at TotalCon. I thought it would be wise of me to get that out and to you before I honestly forget what has happened, because so much is going on here. It's a jam-packed day. Of course, this is Friday, February 22nd, 2013, that I am recording this, and by the time you listen to this, it will be later than that, of course. But today has been so much stuff. I started things off by finishing packing and getting all my gear together to head down to TotalCon. One of the cool things about TotalCon is that it's not far from me at all. I love going to conventions, but it can be a little bit of a difficulty because some of them are so far away. For example, I love going to the Huzzah Convention up in Portland, Maine. It's a highlight of my gaming calendar. It also happens to coincide with my wedding anniversary. My wife, who is wonderful, has no problem with us going up there. We do a whole weekend and we have a lot of fun up in Portland. But now that we have a house, we're not going to be able to go because it's so far away. It's going to make it difficult this May to be able to get up there. And unfortunately, that means I'm going to not be able to see some great people like Mr. Mike Payne and Dean Emerson, a lot of great guys who go up there. But TotalCon is nearby. It's not even more than 20, 25 minutes away from my house. This time, oddly enough, it's kind of ironic, really. I'm staying at the hotel. I have a great room. It's a king-size bed. I got a couch and all sorts of stuff. So it's really cool. And it's ironic because the past few years that I've come, we haven't lived this close to the convention. And I would come, go to events, I would go home. Then the next day I would come, go to events, and then I'd go home. And now that we're the closest to the convention that we've ever been, what do? I get a hotel room and I'm staying the entire weekend. Now, you know that, of course, on Saturday, by the time you're listening to this, it will have already happened, but that on Saturday is my game. It is, of course, the Battle of Freeman's Farm, which I am running with listeners Adrian and Court, who've done a tremendous job of terrain work and painting models and just all sorts of stuff. I've handled the administrative side of things and the PR side, and they've done fantastic jobs putting all of the other stuff together. And that event will be happening, and we're hoping it's going to be a slam dunk like last year, where we were brimming and overflowing with participation and just all sorts of people who were having a blast playing. But today, I did some other amazing things. So I started my day off at the convention by checking in, where it was a nice, easy process, but wouldn't you believe it? I ran into, yes, Mr. Ben Gerber and his wife in the lobby. Ben, of course, is the owner of the Troll in the Corner podcast network and Troll in the Corner blog. So it was really cool to see him. And then I went up to my room and it's gorgeous. So I took some pictures. I don't know about you, but it's something I always do. I like to take photographs of the room. It's maybe a little bizarre, but I like to take photos. Put those up onto the Troll in the Corner Facebook page, onto the Wargaming Recon Facebook page, which you can access by going to wargamingforums.com/Facebook. And then I decided I was going to live blog the event. And I'm not live blogging it on wargamingforums.com, our domain. The reason is we're part of the Troll in the Corner podcast network, and the Troll in the Corner blog has this fantastic live blog plugin. I know that's a little technical. You don't really need to know about that, but what you do need to know is that I'm live blogging the convention. So you'll be able to go back and see all the cool things that happened, and then you can be ready so that next year or other conventions I go to that I'll hopefully be live blogging as well. You can know just to go and check for the live blog. So some of the really cool things that I did today was I played a great early demo kind of game called Tugboat. And this is a game that was created by Wayne Moulton Jr. of the Sages of the RPG. Great guy. He does a lot of great work up in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. So he's a fantastic guy. I was able to play some Tugboat, and Tugboat is a great card game. It's really easy to play, and the whole premise of it, and it's not really a wargaming kind of thing, but we talk about New England gaming here on Wargaming Recon, so I feel it's okay for me to talk about it with you guys instead of just putting it onto my Geeks Explicitly show, which I, of course, also do for the Troll in the Corner podcast network. Now, this game, Tugboat, it's a card game. And every player gets a hand of four cards, and in the middle of the table, there are three cards that represent container ships. There's different colors, and they have different points values. And your hand has tugboats, or it might have special cards in them. You need to get those container ships, and whoever is the first player to get three container ships wins the game. How do you get the container ships, you're thinking? Well, what you need to do is every turn, you either have to play or discard one card from your hand. You do that every turn. You play or you discard, and then you draw a card. So you can play a tugboat card, and each tugboat card is a different color, or it'll be a different number value to them, of course, and you can have no more than three of them in front of you. So you are able to get a container ship. Let's say a container ship is purple, and it has the number four on it. You need to get either three tugboats that are purple, or you need to get tugboats that have numbers that equal but do not exceed four, or whatever number is on the card. When you do that, you take that container ship and you put it in your pile, and you hopefully will get three and be the first person, so that way you can win. There are special cards in here that will alter how things go. Wayne had us demo and play test some new cards that he's trying out. One's a sea monster, one's a pirate card, and one's kind of like a Frankenstein ship sort of thing. So the first two, the sea monster and the pirate card, they negatively impact your opponents. The pirate card allows you to take one container ship of your choice, I believe it is, from one of your opponents. And the sea monster wipes out one opponent's all of their tugboats that they have in front of them. Now, the Franken ship is really cool because it is a card. It's a tugboat, basically. It has no color and no number. But what it can be, it's a wild card, really. It allows you to be any color that you need and any number you need. So let's say you really need like a 5 to get that container ship, or you need another blue card. You plop that down, and you got what you need. So it's a lot of fun. This is a game I tried last year, Wayne showed me, with some differences. And all the improvements that he's done are fantastic. It's a game that I would easily pay money for. I'd pay up to $14 for this. The game he's working on through the Game Crafter, which is a great way to produce some physical games, things that are not stuff you would really say on DriveThruRPG or Wargame Vault. So it was cool for that. Before that, I hung out and caught a good deal of the live Dice Tower podcast with Eric Summerer and Tom Vassell. They are amazing. I came a little late to it, so I snuck in and I sat in the back and I opened up my wife's MacBook. I'm like, I'm going to start live blogging this stuff, and I'm live blogging. And one thing struck me as really peculiar. They were talking, but there were no microphones right in front of them. I'm thinking, wow, they're all sitting up straight and all the way up here, and there's no mic in their face, because normally you don't want more than a hand's breadth distance between you and a mic. You want, like, say, 2 to 3 inches, maybe half a foot at most, because otherwise you're going to get echoey, you're going to get some distortions. Usually that means you're also going to have some sort of pop filter, which I've talked about in the past and things. But they didn't have any of that. They're just sitting there and they're going and talking, and I'm thinking, I don't see any mics. What are they doing? How are they recording this? I saw they had one of the people who was in the audience had a digital camcorder who was recording the video, and then they did an audience question section where they had someone else who went around with what looked like a phone, but it had to have been some sort of digital recorder sort of thing, some really cool digital recorder, and they held it up like a microphone, and they caught the audio that way, and it must have all somehow get tied in together, probably in post-production. But every so often, they had this device in front of them on the table. It's kind of in the middle and between the two of them, and it would get tilted down towards them, and Eric actually was the one who would do this. And he'd press something, and then they would talk, but not about like stuff on the show. And then they come back and they do some stuff. And at one point, I realized it had to have been a digital recorder, something like a Zoom H1. And that's cool because it has cross mics and you can actually use it. So you can put it, like, say, in the middle of a table and it'll pick up audio from everyone. I've tried doing this before with my Zoom H2, which is a newer version of the Zoom H1. And I've also tried with my Blue Snowball microphone. And then the results weren't so pretty. I mean, you can get it. And I use the Blue Snowball in that way for a recording I did with Battleground Games owner Derek Lloyd and manager Chase Laquadara and my buddy Drew, and did it at Drew's house, and we put it in the middle of the table and we recorded, and the audio is just, it was so awful. So I can't imagine what they're doing. They must have just spent a lot of time in post-production for that kind of stuff. But it was really interesting to me that they didn't have any sort of mics for each person. They spent time talking about all sorts of different games and great games for conventions, and they gave some thoughts about different types of games, which I won't get into here because, yeah, it's New England gaming related, but it's not exactly what we would normally talk about in Wargaming Recon. And there's something maybe I'll do on Geeks Explicitly. I'll talk a little bit about what they had done there. So it was just kind of cool to be able to sit there and listen to them. One of the great things was, at one point, they started up a second episode, and Eric was doing this bit party. He was getting in and doing a voice. He was talking about a time playing a game Saboteur with his kids, his son and his daughter. And he got this little French accent and his whole body transformed. He was acting. He was doing voice acting. His arms were moving and his hands, his face got all these expressions. And he was looking at the mic and he was talking to it like it was another person. It was amazing to see. And when he was done, they were still recording, but the whole audience erupted into clapping and applause, and it was absolutely amazing. It was one of the coolest things I had seen. And it was really interesting because I've noticed when I record here on Wargaming Recon and on Geeks Explicitly, one of the things I do that you can't see because this is audio only, of course, and not video, but my hands start moving. And I thought, maybe that's just me because I'm proud Italian, and, you know, they have the stereotype that Italians talk with their hands, and at least in my family, it's true, and my hands will be moving all over the place. But then I realized that it's not just an Italian thing. It's not just something I do, that it appears that it's a podcasting thing. So maybe other podcasts that you listen to, the people on the shows, maybe their hands are moving and they're getting expressions going and they might be making faces and doing different things while they're recording. I know that I do, and I thought I was just being kind of weird, and I've never talked about it here on the show because I thought, oh, maybe I'm a little odd and I don't really want to be doing crazy stuff. And some of the live recordings I've seen people do online, like the Audacity to Podcast with Daniel J. Lewis, he does all sorts of cool stuff. But he doesn't really make all sorts of different faces and do different kind of things. He's pretty staid, but maybe people do this. So when you're listening to like shows like the WWPD with Stephen McLaughlin and all of the great people over there, maybe when you're listening to Meeples and Miniatures and View from the Veranda, maybe Neil Shook and maybe Henry Hyde, maybe they're doing all sorts of crazy expressions and moving their hands and stuff and getting really animated. And you can hear it in their voice. Like right now, I feel I'm really animated. My voice is excited and I'm like, oh, this is so cool and all that kind of stuff. So maybe that's how you can tell when you're listening to a podcast. You can go, whoa, their voice went up and they sound a little more excited. You listen to Working Recon, when you hear that, you know my hands are moving. You're thinking, Jonathan's really into this and he's going crazy and it's a big smile on his face and all sorts of stuff. So it's really, really cool. Then after both the Dice Tower and playing Tugboat with Wayne and Ben Gerber and Ben's wife Jen, which was a blast. I love them. They're all great people. It was time for us to get ready for Cube of Death. And Cube of Death is a cool, cool, cool game that is run by Peter Bryant, a.k.a. Blix, from the Con Men Podcast. That's conmenpodcast.com. No, it's not like con artists. It's about conventions, people who talk about conventions. And also the Tri-Tech Games Podcast. Yes, we'll have links to all this cool sort of stuff in our show notes, which you can get by heading on over to wargamingforums.com/WR87. That's right, wargamingforums.com/WR87. And that'll get you to our show notes for all this kind of stuff. But his Cube of Death is really cool because it's a combination of D&D, like D&D Lite, really, and geek trivia. So teams go in a one-off, one-elimination kind of setup. And each team has 50 hit points, 50 life points. Each member of the team, there's teams of three people, they get a card, a character card, that has a special ability. You could be a cleric, which I was, and I had a special ability of Smite. I could play that and cause the opposing team to lose their turn. There's all sorts of different things. You might encounter a wandering monster where you get a cool piece of treasure, like an armor, a helmet, a sword, or something that does something really cool in the game. When you answer a trivia question correctly, you roll a d6, just like that song says, and whatever you roll, that's how much damage you do to the opposing team. So we went up, it was Wayne and Ben and myself, we went up and we had a go against Team Gygax Magazine, and we got slaughtered. We did really well in the beginning, actually, but then as it went on, they kept on rolling sixes for damage, and we got some tough questions. It was pretty hard. I have to take pride with there were a few Star Wars questions, and anyone who's listened to my other show, Geeks Explicitly, you know that I'm a huge Star Wars nerd, and I'm not afraid to say it. I geek out about that all the time. So there were some great ones. An easy one that I had, it was a volley question, which is the six answers, and you get a point for each answer you get correctly, but the first one you get wrong, you stop. So you want to give all the ones that you know. So I had to give the six Star Wars movies, theatrical release movies, I had to give their episode number and their name. So, of course, I started with the Holy Trilogy, and I worked my way to the prequels, and I got each one. And then I had another Star Wars question, which dealt with The Empire Strikes Back. So, if you've seen that, maybe you've seen it as much as I have, and you haven't memorized, I had to list the six bounty hunters that you see on the bridge of the Imperial Star Destroyer, and I got one wrong. So I named Forlom and Zuckuss and Dengar, and I named Boba Fett and IG-88, But I missed Bossk. And of course, after I missed it, and Blitz was like, oh, nope, the one you missed was Bossk. I go, oh, the Trandoshan. And of course, I knew that, but I forgot his name, which made me really annoyed. But it was a lot of fun. And then afterwards, we all got prizes for participating, which I think is amazing. I'm very thankful. I got a cool game. I got Puerto Rico for the computer. It's on Windows, so I'm able to use Boot Camp on my Mac and go in and play that. I also got a gift certificate, a $5 gift certificate for the Game Crafter. So I'm very excited about that as well. I can go buy some cool games over there. And after that, and I know this is recording, it's going on for, oh, well, I feel like I'm meandering all over the place, but I'm looking at my time and it's not as long as I thought it was. But then after that, kind of hung out with Ben and his wife, Jen. And I feel bad because I feel like I'm just kind of tagging along with them, but things that they're doing is interesting, and they're happy enough to include me in them. So we hung out in the vendor hall, and we did some cool stuff there and looked around, and then the vendor hall closes at 7. So if you're coming to TotalCon, remember, vendor hall closes at 7 o'clock. Get your purchases before that. I think it opens up at 9 in the morning, so you can always go back the next day and get that purchase you need. But I was hanging out at the booth of Crossroad Games, and Crossroad Games is a great game store that I have to get to one of these days in person. I saw them here at TotalCon actually last year, and I got really excited because they were just so friendly and so nice that I ended up friending online, ended up friending one of the guys who's associated with Crossroad Games, and then hung out with him and hung out with his partner, not that there's anything wrong with that, but with his partner, Jeremy, who also is involved with Crossroad Games. So I hung out with Brendan, and I hung out with Jeremy, and three of us, plus Ben and his wife, we went to the restaurant inside the hotel, and they had dinner, and the three of us, Ben, his wife, and myself, we just had some dessert and stuff, hung out, and just great time chatting with them, a lot of fun. It was a pleasure to finally meet Brendan because I followed him on, not creepy like, but I followed him on Facebook and seen all the stuff that happens at Crossroad Games. So they're doing some amazing stuff up there. So it was really just a joy to get to see them. And at first I didn't actually place him because his profile picture has him with a beard and he doesn't have one now. And I'm thinking, wait, are you who I think you are? And Ben, of course, introduced me and everything. But didn't sync, so I don't know if Brendan recognized me from my profile picture, probably not, or if we put the two together, I'll have to send him a little message and be like, hey, it's good having dinner with you. So we had dinner anyway, and I'm meandering, and then I got to hang out a little bit with Angela and some of the cool stuff that happens behind the scenes, and I got my invite to the GM social and things I can't talk about on the air, but I'm gonna make for some cool stories and just some great networking opportunities. And then here we are. I'm doing a little recording and charging my phone so I can take more pictures and stuff. But at this time, I have to let you know this is going to become a really long or really short maybe recording because I'm going to take this audio and then I'm probably going to record some more audio again later tonight, which by the time you heard, you're going to think, later tonight, what the hell is he talking about? But some more audio that's going to get added on, be like maybe another part of the episode. And then tomorrow, the same thing, and Sunday, probably when I get home, I will do some more audio and just talk about all sorts of cool stuff. Now, by the time you listen to this, this will have already happened. So things aren't applicable. That's why I'm not saying, oh, come on down and hang out and stuff. I did all that in previous episodes. I did that on our social media, said you should get here. And now it's too late. It's all happening. But don't worry, there's always next year. I'm planning that I'll be back next year and hopefully be getting a room and maybe even being able to convince my wife to come with me. She didn't want to come this time. I said, hey, you can come. It's not going to cost you anything to come to the convention. We'll just get a room. And I mean, it's a king-size bed. It's amazing. I'll have to put a picture up in the show notes or at least link to the Facebook posting and our social media postings so you can see all that cool stuff. But it's a fantastic room. I'm overlooking the pool, and it's kind of like all the way in the back end of the hotel. It's kind of like Siberia is what Ben's wife referred to it as. But I like it. And if you're hearing any sort of weird noises, even though I'm in the room, there's a bunch of kids who are in the pool and they're having a fun time. And TotalCon, one of the things I love about it that I've talked about on Wargaming Recon here, and I've talked about it on my other show, Geeks Explicitly, one of the things that I love about it is that it's family and kid friendly. So people come, families come, the kids hang out, they go in the pool, they go do stuff nearby, and their parents, whatever one is a gamer or maybe both, are doing gamer geeky things. They're playing in RPGs, they're playing board games, they're going to live podcasts, and just all sorts of stuff. Now, one last cool thing I have to mention, which it turns out, when I was talking to Angela, it turns out that the last 2 years I was supposed to be getting this too, and I didn't know it. But this is the very first time, and I'm going to actually have a picture up, the very first time I get a press badge. So I signed up for things, and the stuff I wanted to go to, and things I wanted to do, panels that I don't need tickets for, really. But not only am I a Game Master, so I get a cool ribbon that says Game Master because I'm running a game, but I also get a press badge because I'm doing the podcast here. Both this and my other show, Geeks Explicitly, and covering it for Trolling the Corner and all kind of cool stuff. So this gets me into just about anything I really want to get into. It allows me to go up to people, take pictures, and I mean, you could do that anyway, but this way they don't worry about some guy being all creepy and stalker-like. They're like, oh, wait, he has a blue special thing. He's press. This means let's talk to him and let's promote our stuff so I can talk to industry guests, and they'll be like, oh, wait, you're not just an attendee. Not that they would shun that, because they're very approachable and they love talking to attendees, you know, the game masters and everyone. But they can be like, oh, wait, you're press. Maybe I should talk to you. Maybe I should make sure I have extra time to talk to you. And maybe I should make sure that I have extra time to show things to you and discuss stuff and just share things that I'm working on. And that way they can give it to me. And then I will promote their stuff, things that I love, and promote it here on Wargaming Recon and, of course, my other show, Geeks Explicitly, and just put it all over our social media feeds and all that kind of stuff and do wonderful, wonderful gamery, geeky kind of things with all of it. Well, I thank all of you for listening. So if this is the recording you listen to, if I separate them out by time I record it, this will be a very short recording, but not the shortest I've ever done for you. But it'll be a short recording, and if I end up kind of glomming them all together, which I think I'll probably do, then it'll be a long recording, because this is what, like a quarter of an hour, almost half an hour of recording time, maybe less by the time I do a little post-production and editing of it. But you can bet I'll have probably equal amount of playing time for you with what I record later tonight and what I record each day from the con and things that happen as I'm down there. So it could become a very long episode, which it would be ironic because, yes, I know I've said numerous times that there are other podcasts that I love, but if it's over an hour, over a half an hour, if it's like an hour, if it's over an hour, I'm not going to listen to it because I don't have the time to listen to it. The reason why I don't have the time is because I'm creating all of this content for you, and I'm having a blast doing it, and I'm playing games and just all sorts of amazing, fun stuff. So as much as I would love to sit and listen to a 3-hour episode of, I don't know, I'm just going to make up a show, the whatever show, I don't have the time to. But hopefully you do, and hopefully you're listening to this and liking it and looking forward to the remaining content for this episode, however long that might happen to be. So once again, this is Jonathan J. Reinhardt, and no, I'm not going to use my usual closing and say keep on gaming, because I'm hoping to have more audio for you. So this is not the end of the episode. It's just one segment, and then I'll be coming back in with some more audio at a later time, recorded at a later time anyway, but we'll be all together for you to listen to. So that way you download the episode or you subscribe to iTunes, whatever the case happens to be, and you just get it all together. I do have to apologize in advance for some later content because I'm going to experiment a little bit and see if my voice improves or changes with the introduction of maybe a beer or two or some other sort of adult beverages, or as I say on WWPD, adult snacks, which is, to me, that makes me laugh. So we'll see how that goes, and thank you again for listening, and stay tuned for the next segments here on Wargaming Recon, this very special episode of Wargaming Recon, which has me recording live from Total Confusion, and you are listening to Wargaming Recon episode 87. This is Jonathan J. Reinhardt, of course. I'm returning back to my recording. Now, what you don't realize is that many hours have passed from the time that I recorded the stuff you heard mere moments ago in what I'm recording right now, because like all my previous audio, I am recording this live from Total Confusion here in Mansfield, Massachusetts. This is February of 2013, and I am having a blast here at TotalCon. One of the coolest things, though, I have to talk about. And of course, first, I just want you to realize that if things sound a little bit differently, please remember I'm recording in my hotel room. You might hear some ambient noise. I'm using some of my usual studio equipment, but I'm actually not recording into my normal computer in the normal way I record. My wife, who is fantastic, has been kind and generous enough to allow me to go ahead and use her MacBook. So I am using this, and I'm actually recording into GarageBand. Normally I record into a program called Audacity. So this time things are a little different. I'm recording directly into GarageBand. Another thing is I wanted to do a little experiment, partly as a jest. I was talking with my wife and I said, oh, do you know, there's all these really cool after parties at TotalCon, and really they're unofficial and, you know, like Fight Club, first rule is you don't talk about them. But one of the things that I do know is that there's lots of imbibing of adult beverages, things that are unsuitable for children. So I had packed a container of my own sort of stuff for me to imbibe, because I like things that maybe wouldn't necessarily be there. So I had packed some nice craft beer, some Allagash White, which I highly recommend. I also packed a little bit of raspberry vodka, and I packed some Diet Coke and some Amaretto, which goes by the brand name DiSorono, some Captain Morgan's. I packed some pineapple juice. So all told, with all that, I was capable to have some stuff, to have some fun, because for all I knew, I was thinking maybe some people might come back and hang out in the room, or I might bring stuff and hang out at one of the after parties, which of course we don't talk about. So what I am doing right now, I've actually poured myself a delicious glass of Amaretto and pineapple juice. People who've listened to my other show, Geeks Explicitly, you will not be surprised by this, because, you know, I will have regularly been recording while drinking a nice Wachusett blueberry beer or drinking some nice Blue Moon. So this is a little bit different for Wargaming Recon, because Wargaming Recon, I try to keep more PG and PG-13, and drinking alcohol, not necessarily something that's family-friendly, although there's nothing wrong with it when done in moderation. I think the Europeans do it right, the Italians do it right. My grandmother started drinking wine, homemade wine, at the age of 3, I believe, and she's not an alcoholic. So I think here in America, we don't get taught how to drink appropriately. Kids know it's forbidden, teens know it's forbidden, so they get illicit beer, and they drink to excess. They drink to get drunk and to throw up, instead of drinking to enjoy a social situation or to enhance food. All good reasons, I think, when appropriately handled and when of legal age, to go ahead and imbibe some adult beverages. So I'm recording this as part of an experiment because, like I said, I was talking with my wife, and I wondered if, with all this stuff going on at TotalCon, if maybe I might sound better or more interesting voice if I've had a few, so to speak. And I have not had a few. This is my first. I know that some other podcasts out there, they like to do live podcast recordings, and they'll do them at a con, maybe in a bar, or they'll have a keg or a case of beers, and they'll have them for the audience, and they get going, and some do it to great effect and have great results, and some turn into drunken frat house kind of recordings, which I don't think are so interesting for people to listen to. So I thought, you know what, I've never done anything like that, so why don't I give it a try? And you might hear me from time to time just take a little break, a moment or two, where I'm going to go ahead and take a sip, like right now. It's really good. If you're someone who enjoys something a little sweet, pineapple juice is really good. And when mixed with the amaretto, it's nice and smooth. Amaretto's a good dessert liqueur, Italian, made out of an almond base, I believe, actually. So it's very nice. Anyway, now that I had that little aside, I want to talk about some more events that happened here at TotalCon, the Friday of TotalCon, Friday, February 22nd, 2013. So in the first half, or first portion really is what I should say, because who knows how long this recording is going to be. By the time you listen to it, it's all done and over with. But right now, I'm recording live, so I'm going to record every day that I'm here at TotalCon. And today and Saturday, I'll be recording live from the con. And Sunday, probably not from the con, but I will be recording when I get home to talk about what happened at the con and then releasing that as an episode for all of you to listen to. But I had previously talked about in the first portion of this episode, I talked about my appearance on Cube of Death and how, although got my butt handed to me, had a blast, and I also got some free stuff. I got a great, great game called Puerto Rico. It's a computer version of it that I got that you can play on Windows. I also got a $5 gift certificate to the Game Crafter. Not bad considering I lost and got my ass handed to me by Team Gary Gygax Magazine, which of course was happy to lose to them because they are fantastic. We actually had a really good run in the beginning and things tapered off. I talked about the live Dice Tower podcast that I attended. I talked about playing Tugboat with Ben Gerber, owner of Troll ITC, his wife, and also Wayne Moulton Jr., who is the head honcho over at Sages of the RPG, which is a great organization that I love to promote and support. So I talked about all of that. What I did not talk about, and actually I also talked about hanging out with the Crossroad Games guys, Jeremy, and we talked about hanging out with them and Brendan, of course, as well, and having some, they had dinner, but having some dessert over in the hotel restaurant. They had a nice chocolate tort, which was so fudgy. It was very good. And I talked about hanging out with all that kind of stuff and our chatting and just how much fun. But what I did not talk about is I did not cover the GM social. And I did not talk about the highlight for me for today at TotalCon. Now, let me talk about the GM social in a second because I want to do it chronologically. So I want to back up a little bit. So after dinner, before dinner, I'm referring to it as dinner, but it was dessert for me. But after hanging out with the Crossroad Games guys, went on, just kind of hung around a little bit, and Ben and his wife were going off and doing stuff, and I came back to the room and just kind of got some stuff together. And then I went down and said, I'm going to go, and I want to check out what games are being played. And I was going to be attending the live TriTac Games podcast recording. Now, that got pushed back because Cube of Death just took a really long time. Cube of Death started about half hour, 45 minutes late. Then it took a really long time. And on top of that, there were two live readings as part of Blixapalooza. So Blix, who is the host of TriTac Games, and he's the host of his other show, Con Men, and he is a co-host of TriTac Games, not just the host, but he's a co-host of that. So he was doing that, but he was also doing Cube of Death, and then he was doing some live readings. He created some short stories, and they were going to be read live. Ben Gerber was going to be narrating one of them. A few other individuals were going to be involved for a dramatic reading. Now, everything got pushed back, which meant TriTac Games got pushed back, and that's what I was looking forward to. But with it being pushed back, I had some free time that I didn't think I was going to have. So I meandered around and looked at what's going on in the board games. I looked at the card games. And then I headed into the big board game section. I wandered around, and then what do I see? But I see Little War at Sea being played. You guys all know how much I love the War at Sea. So Dan Eustace was actually the individual who was GMing this War at Sea game. Dan is a guy who lives not too far from Battleground Games and Hobbies in Plainville, which is where I've kind of gotten to know him. And then last year, he ran two War at Sea events. I played in one of them, and I loved it. He does a great job. He's heavily present on the Axis and Allies Forum Mini, which I have to give a big shout-out to them because they are an amazing group of gentlemen over there. And he had this all set up. He was doing some cool stuff. Said, I wish I could have played. And he actually talked to me beforehand because he knew that I had played last year, and he was hoping I'd be able to play this year. He was worried about not having enough people to play. And at the time, I had to tell him, Dan, I'm really sorry, but I have this other thing I'm doing. I'm not going to have time to do it as much as I would have liked. Of course, lo and behold, turns out I would have. But I went in, I saw him play, and got to chat with him a little bit, took some cool pictures of the game, and I meandered around. Then the next table I went to was Car Wars. A lot of kids playing. This was really cool. Die-cast cars, and they had a go on this longboard and then blow up some sort of truck. It looked really neat. Got some cool pictures of that. And then, yes, I'm getting near to where the highlight of the con for me. I moved over to the top of the big ballroom. It's kind of, think of like your school auditorium, your elementary school auditorium with the big stage on it, big open space. So they have this kind of big elevated stage sort of thing. Went up there and some people were playing something with Legos. And I was like, what the heck is this? This looks kind of cool. I love Legos. I don't know what it is. So I walked on over and I was watching. And it's a chariot game. It's called Circus Maximus. I guess it's based off of an old Avalon Hill game that has been modified, you could say, with some house mods and house extensions for how things go. And it's been blown up so that Legos are used to create different chariots. I mean, you can equip them. You can have different skill levels of charioteer and horses. You need different equipment, different types of chariot. And the goal is you want to go around the track, which it's a huge track. It's at least 3 or 4 feet long. You want to go around the track in 3 laps. First person to do it wins. More often than not, it turns into a big bloodbath. If you've ever seen the Ben-Hur movie with Charlton Heston, and if you haven't, you really need to, so please head on out, get it on Netflix or whatever. You really need to see it. And that's a lot of contact and fighting and stuff. Really cool. So it ends up turning into that. I was over lower than the stage, and I went over and was watching. And there was a guy, he was hanging out, and he was kind of sitting down, and he was talking to someone. And then I saw him kind of look at my badge, and I was like, okay, maybe he's like, why is this guy just standing there? What's he doing? But what he was doing was, he looked at my badge, and apparently he recognized a photograph of me that I had put up onto our Facebook page. So that's right, you want to go to wargamingforums.com/Facebook, and that's how you can get to our Facebook page, where we have updates and pictures and all sorts of cool stuff. So he recognized the picture and he goes, oh, are you Jonathan? Jonathan Ryan? And I go, yeah, that's me. And I'm thinking he's reading my name. And he's like, hi, I'm Patrick. I listen to your show. And I'm like, oh, you listen to my show is what I was thinking inside. I got really excited because people know, I'm like, oh, yeah, well, you know, we know you, whatever. Or usually I'm like, hey, I do a podcast and I'm so-and-so. And this is the first time really that I've been recognized as a result of doing the podcast by a listener in real life. And he's talking about how he likes Wargaming Recon. He likes my other show, Geeks Explicitly. He likes a little better. And he's kind of shy. And I've talked about on the shows about me being an introvert and being shy and how it's a little difficult. It's difficult. It's not just a little, but it's difficult for me to go out and be very forthcoming with people and be like, hey, I'm so-and-so and this is what I do. It's hard for me to do that. It's hard for me to break out of my bubble. I'm comfortable with this and comfortable talking to you because I'm here in front of a computer and I'm speaking into a microphone. If all of you were here in person who listen to the show, I would freeze. I would have a hard time with that. I would have a very hard time. But Patrick was saying how he is also kind of shy and introverted. And so we were talking. I hung out with him for like an hour at the game. And he was talking to me about the game. We kind of getting comfortable and chatting about not just the game but all sorts of other stuff. And then this other guy named Jim came up and he was talking to me about D&D and Pathfinder. So I was talking with him for a while and the game ended. But before Jim came over, I felt very comfortable with Patrick. And I felt this way with quite a few of you who I've gotten a chance to talk with online and communicate. For example, I feel very comfortable with Henry Hyde, chatting with him, whether it's email or when we've talked through Skype and stuff for an episode. Very, very comfortable. And when I feel comfortable with you, I will open up. My whole essence opens up and I share all sorts of stuff. So I was chatting with Patrick and I was like, oh, you know, I'm in room whatever. And normally, and I shouldn't say this, but normally the phone number I give people, if I'm like, oh, give me a call or a text or whatever, I give the phone number that I have on our blog, which is the phone number for when you can go ahead and get in touch with me. So that number, of course, is 347-470-GAME, 347-470-4263. And then you can call that, you can leave a voicemail, and all that sort of stuff. And that's usually the number that I give. But I felt very comfortable with them, so I gave my personal cell phone. I said, you know what? Okay, let me give you my card. You can get in touch with me, and I'm going to look into a couple things for him. But I was like, you know what? If you're bored later, we can hang out. I was like, I got some beer and stuff. We can play some games or just chill or whatever. sent me a text. So then he gave me, we swapped numbers and stuff and said, oh, get in touch because we're both here the whole weekend, kind of hang out and play some games and everything. So it was so wonderful to just chat. And then I got to chat with Jim and the game ended and Patrick was like, oh, you know, give me a text or whatever if you're bored. And I was like, oh, I will, definitely. So off he went. And then next thing I know, it's a little after 11. And so I said, well, it's time. Sorry, Jim, I got to go. I have the GM social to get to. And the last couple of years, I haven't gone to it. Been too shy. But this year I said, do you know what? I'm going. And so I went. And I went down. I got to chat with Angela, who is the promotional director. I got some free food. And it was just nice to hang out. And I got to chill with some of the GMs. And then I sent Patrick a text and I said, Patrick, do you want to come down? I'd like to introduce you to Angela, if possible. And so he said, sure. So he came on down. And I was like, Angela, there's someone you need to meet. And she's like, oh, okay. And I could tell she was a little surprised, but I was really excited about introducing Patrick to Angela. And so he came down and he chatted with her for a while. We all chatted. And then I showed him Peter Bryan, aka Blix, and Tim Cass came down, and Jay Libby of Dilly Green Bean Games came down. That's a mouthful, isn't it? So I was showing all this stuff, and then we were just chatting, and I was like, do you want to play some games? And so he went up and to his room, and he got some food, and then came back down. We hung out, and we just chatted and chatted, and then next thing you know, it's like 1:20, 1:30 in the morning, and we're both tired, so we go our separate ways. But it was just, it was so much fun getting to chat with Patrick and learn about him and talk about games and things that we enjoy. Just so much fun talking to, he's such a great guy. Just getting to know him and meeting a listener like him is so wonderful, who's so special. And just, you can tell how passionate he is about the games he plays. And I am so thankful, Patrick, that you took the chance and you introduced yourself, because I know, like me, the instinct is to shy away and hide. I've told the story, I think, on Geeks Explicitly, but I think also in the episode here on Wargaming Recon with Angela on how my very first con here at Total Con, my very first time, there was a panel. It was about game design, I think. And let's see, Ben Gerber and James Carpio and a few others were there. But afterwards, I was just so interested in what had happened. And I liked what everyone had said, but for some reason I felt that out of everyone, and they're all amazing people who were on the panel, but out of everyone I felt that Ben was maybe the most approachable for me. For some reason, I felt the most comfortable, although I had no interaction with him other than sitting in the back of the room while he talked and me furiously typing. So afterwards, I went up to him, and instead of shying away, I was like, oh, hi, mutter. That was awesome. Great. Bye. And like, I ran away. I was like, okay, my courage is gone now. Let me flee. And he's like, wait a sec. Who are you? So we talked. And then, of course, as things have now become, I'm an editor over at Troll in the Corner and helped launch the Troll in the Corner podcast network. So I know breaking out of that is so difficult. It's like first instinct to withdraw into oneself for an introvert. And to be uncomfortable with it, with all the people and all the stuff and people you don't know. But I'm so thankful and happy, Patrick, that you bust out of that shell. And you're like, do you know what? I recognize Jonathan from Facebook and from the picture you put up. I'm going to say hi and introduce myself. Because Patrick, meeting you, having you introduce yourself, and hanging out and chatting with you, the highlight of the convention today for me. It wasn't playing in Cube of Death, getting all the free stuff. It wasn't being at the Dice Tower live podcast with Eric Summerer and Tom Vassell. It wasn't the GM social or being in the same room as all those amazing industry guests. It wasn't any of those things. It wasn't hanging out with the guys from Crossroad Games, which is something I've been looking forward to for a while. It wasn't any of those. The highlight for me, 100% without a doubt, was the moment you said, hi, are you Jonathan? I listened to your podcast. My name is Patrick. Meeting you, it was perfect. So, Patrick, thank you very much. And this just goes to say, if any of you other listeners are introverted like me, are introverted like Patrick, if you're shy and you happen to see me out at a con or somewhere, you think you heard me, come say hi. I wish there was something inside me that could be like, oh, wait, I have radar. You listen to my show. You want to say hi to me. I wish I could know that just inside me, but I don't. And as much as I try and do my best to go and say hi to everyone, I can't introduce myself to everybody. So I would love for you, if you happen to see me out and about, say hi, stop me, let's chat. And maybe you're nowhere near where I am. What you can do, and even if you are near here, you can reach out, send me an email, chat to me on Facebook, chat to me on Google Plus or whatever, send a comment onto our blog, call that phone number, reach out to me. I love chatting with all of you. This is the best thing for me from podcasting. So whether you want to email me, cwfgamecast@wargamingforums.com, whether you want to call 347-470-4263, whether you want to head on over to wargamingforums.com/Facebook and post on our Facebook page, whether you want to go to our blog and leave a comment, such as a comment for the show notes for this episode, which would be wargamingforums.com/WR87. Any of these are fantastic and wonderful ways to reach out. Break out of your shell. Reach out to me and say, hi, Jonathan. I'm so-and-so. I listen to your show, and this is what I think. Good, bad, or ugly, I want to hear from you. I'm not trying to be all whiny and pleading, but I just want to use Patrick as such a good and positive example for the fantastic things that can happen when you reach outside of your shell and you break out and you try to connect with someone else. Because there's that famous English philosopher who said, no man is an island in and of himself, that we're all connected. And that may be true, as John Donne said, but we need to build those connections and maintain them. And we need to cross from island to island and meet people halfway or even all the way on their island so that they can then come back and connect with us. So I love meeting everyone. And like I said, the highlight of today's convention for me was hanging out with Patrick and chatting with them and playing games and when he introduced himself. At this point, we are getting to be up to a whole hour roughly of content, and it is very late. It's like 2 a.m. So I know I sound like I have a lot of energy, and that's just all the Diet Cola. I was drinking the non-caffeine free stuff. But I really need to quiet down and relax a little bit, and then I have to be up first thing in the morning because I'm going to a fantastic panel on how to run a convention. I'm going to be supportive of Angela and all the other great TotalCon people who are going to be on the panel there. I'm not a morning person, as you guys might know. I have to get up early-ish for my job. I have to be in for 9. I'm a 9-to-5-er, but I'm really a night owl, so my inclination would be to be up to like 5 a.m. and then not get up until noon tomorrow. But I can't do that because I got to go to that panel. I need to then go and hang out with the owner of Your Move Games, who's going to teach me all about his game called Battleground. It's a fantasy game, card-based, really cool. So I'm going to be hanging out with Chad Ellis, who is the owner of Your Move Games here in Somerville, I believe, actually. So Chad, if that's incorrect, please correct me, but I believe it's Somerville. So he's here in Massachusetts. And then after that, I'm going to be doing some other cool stuff and getting ready to go see Project London at 1 o'clock. I believe it's 1 o'clock. And then meeting Adrian in court so we can have dinner and finish prepping for the big, yes, that's right, Battle of Freeman's Farm starting at 7 o'clock. But of course, by the time you listen to this, it will have been done and over. And I will have recorded whatever had happened on Saturday, and you'll be listening to that next. So I just want to thank you again for listening to this second segment of my recording here live from Total Confusion 27 in Mansfield, Massachusetts. So I am going to be taking a break, and the next section of audio that you hear will be recorded on Saturday. So for you, it'll be like, but for me, it'll be 8, 10, 14 hours from now. So I need to get some rest. I need to finish my amaretto and pineapple juice and maybe have one more. I don't know. And watch some movies maybe and read some books and just kind of veg out and then fall asleep in what looks to be a very comfortable, spacious, king-size bed. So I want to thank you all for listening to this segment. I'll be back with more audio. And of course, as much fun as I'm having recording this, I'm thinking, wow, it's going to be a pain in the butt for me to edit this. And you can tell what kind of editing I will have done, because that will be remaining in the audio by the time you get it. So thank you again, and I hope this will become a regular thing for me, that I'll be coming to TotalCon year after year, podcasting, maybe doing some live podcasts, but podcasting from my room, doing live recordings, and also at other events. Hopefully I'll be able to go to Havoc and maybe find a corner over there to record, and other sorts of conventions and just cool stuff happening here and all over the place. Well, I have rambled enough, and I need to get some shut-eye, because gamers can't live on gaming alone as much as we would like. Thank you very much, and please stay tuned for the next segment, which will, like I had just said, be here in an instant for you, but many hours for me. So the last thing you heard was me saying I was just going to crash in my room and have an easy night and probably go to bed, and that would be it. This part that I'm recording right now, but for you, as I have mentioned numerous times in this recording, is something that you're hearing right after all my other stuff. But this part I'm talking about right now, I'm going to be covering the rest of Friday night of TotalCon, Saturday, and Sunday. This part right here that I'm recording has been recorded several days later. Now, the reason for that is, of all the things I'm going to be talking about coming up, I had to actually do these things. And then by the time I came back from TotalCon, I was, of course, white, and I just needed to rest. And then it was time to record an episode of Geeks Explicitly, and one thing after another. So I am getting the rest of Wargaming Recon episode 88, which you can find at wargamingforums.com/WR88. That's right, wargamingforums.com/WR88. So I'm getting the rest of this episode recorded right now so I can get that out, and you'll be listening to it and hopefully enjoying this extra long episode. So like I said, where I left you off, I was in my room, and I was probably sounding a little drunk maybe, and had a few to drink. I had done all sorts of cool stuff on Friday, such as I met Jay Libby, who's the co-owner of Dilly Green Bean Games, and I actually got to meet him last year and maybe the year before. He's one of the industry guests for TotalCon, but this year is different because not only was I able to be introduced to him by Ben Gerber, owner of Troll in the Corner, but also he was able to connect my face and my name with the fact that I know Ben and I'm affiliated with Troll in the Corner. So although he's approachable and very friendly anyways, he was extra approachable and extra friendly. When I would see him throughout the con, he'd smile or wave. It was really, really cool. And one of the coolest things, really, is that he's going to be getting me a review copy of his role-playing game called G-Core. It's a superhero RPG. I don't talk about RPGs here on Wargaming Recon, but I can talk about them on my other show, Geeks Explicitly. So I won't talk too much about G-Core here, but I just wanted to mention that he's going to be doing that, and I am very excited to be able to network with him and, of course, to get a review copy of a game that he's doing and he's done. He has these expansions for that people love, so I can have some more amazing content for one of my podcasts. And then I also mentioned how I managed to meet for the very, very first time one of you, one of the listeners, someone who isn't family, who isn't a family member or a pre-existing friend, one of you who I've been able to meet in the flesh, and it was one of the highlights for me of the con. If you've listened to Geeks Explicitly, and more importantly, if you've listened to the episode in which I cover TotalCon, it's Geeks Explicitly episode 31, which you can get at trollitc.com/GE31. In that, I cover my 5 highlights from the con, and if you've listened to that, and if you haven't, I hope you will, but if you've listened to that, you will know that meeting Patrick, listener Patrick, meeting him was the number one highlight for me at the con this year at TotalCon. It was just so much fun being able to meet him, and he introduced himself and overcame some of his shyness. And I've talked about here on the show and on my other show, I've talked about being an introvert and how hard it is for me to just put myself out there, but at the same time, how much I love and how the most important aspect and the part of podcasting that I love the most is communicating with all of you. I love communicating with all the listeners. You guys are more than just listeners, and ladies, I should say, because I know some women do listen to the show, but you men and women, boys and girls of all ages, you gamers, you allow me into your lives, you welcome me into your lives and your homes, and give me the time so that you can listen to this show in your very busy lives. So I feel like you are more than just listeners. We're a community. We're friends. And I feel that as every episode goes by, that you've gotten to know me more and more. And when you communicate with me, I get to know you too. I love having this interpersonal relationship with you, this interpersonal interaction. So when someone like Patrick overcomes that shyness and says, do you know what? That's Jonathan, and I'm going to say hi and tell him I like his shows. It means the world to me. I love it. I really do. It's fantastic. So I hung out with Patrick for, I'm going to say, a good chunk of the evening. In fact, I went to the GM Social. It's the first time I've done it, even though last year I ran an event and I could have been at the GM Social. But I went to the GM Social. I hung out with Angela, with Angela, who's a promotional director. And I got a couple things to eat, and I was sitting there, just kind of sitting outside of the room, and there were some people in the room. And she looked at me, and she gave me a kick in the butt I needed. And not a literal one. She gave me a figurative one, a metaphoric one. She's like, you know, Jonathan, you really need to go and network with some people. I know you're shy. I know you're introverted. She is, too. And she's like, just go talk with some people. They're friendly. And so I was sitting there, and I started talking to a few people. And I had mentioned beforehand to Patrick that he might want to come down. Because when Patrick and I first met and we first started talking, I did something I don't normally do. When I do the show here, I say you guys can call in and I give you a phone number. I gave Patrick my cell phone number. I said, Patrick, feel free to call or text. Texting might be better. Just send me a text or whatever. We're going to be here at the con. We can swap numbers, maybe hang out or whatever. Because I felt a connection with them. I felt very comfortable around them. Some people in your life, you just feel really comfortable. You're like, they're a cool person. I could hang out with them. And I felt that way instantly about Patrick. So I texted him. I said, Patrick, do you want to come down to the GM Social? There's someone you should meet. You want to meet the promo director and talk with her? And he said, cool. And so he said he's going to come down. And I was talking with Angela. I was like, Angela, there's a guy I want you to meet. And she's like, oh, okay. And she's thinking, really? Who do you want me to meet? Because that's a little mysterious. And I haven't normally done this to Angela in the past couple of years that I've known her. I said, there's this guy you got to meet. And so Patrick came down and I introduced him. He's chatting with Angela. And Angela, I knew, was having a great time with him. She just really enjoyed chatting with him. So we were all talking and having fun. And I got to see some of the cool industry guests come in to the GM Social. And then Patrick and I were like, well, that's that. And I was like, hey, do you want to play some games? I have some games we can play. He hadn't eaten yet, so he went up to his room and he got some stuff together and he was eating. He came back down, found an empty table. We started playing some games. I took out Zombie Dice and Martian Dice. As you guys know, I have a huge love of Zombie Dice. I've talked about it many, many times, and it's appeared on the past couple years' worth of the Wargaming Recon holiday gift guide. You know that it's usually a top pick for me, either overall or at least in its price category. So you know how much I love Zombie Dice. Any chance I can get to talk about Zombie Dice and introduce it to people is a chance I'm not going to pass up on. So I pulled out, I was like, this is a really, you know, easy, casual kind of game, and I explained how it kind of caught on at Gen Con a few years ago, and it was cool for conventions because you could play it waiting in line. I talked about all of that, and I was like, Patrick, I know you're kind of more into like the old school Avalon Hill, and you like role-playing games, but do you want to try this? And he's like, yeah. So we're rolling dice, and we're going, and we're just chatting and having so much fun, and it is so late, because the GM Social is at like 11 o'clock, I think, and we hung out there for maybe, oh geez, a half hour, 45 minutes or so. So you gotta figure this is after midnight, 12:30, quarter of one perhaps. And we're just sitting there, and there's actually still some games going on in some of the rooms. We're just rolling those dice, having fun, and being zombies and trying to get brains and hope too many people don't beat feet to run away and that we don't get too many shotgun blasts in our face. I don't even remember who won. I do remember we kept score on my iPad because it was really handy. glad I had that. But what I do remember the most out of it is that after we played Zombie Dice and after I explained Martian Dice, Patrick had remarked that he remembered hearing me talk about Zombie Dice on Geeks Express 3, which I know I'm talking about him a lot here on Wargaming Recon, but he actually told me that Geeks Express 3 is his favorite of my two shows, maybe because it's a little more broad in its focus and that it's not just on tabletop minis wargaming. And I cover New England gaming, of course, here as well, but he comes from a different metric, really, where he's more into the old school board games, like the old school Avalon Hill games, Axis and Allies, even the new versions of that, but also a lot of the old RPGs and that sort of stuff. Things that I don't necessarily cover here on Wargaming Recon, because I try to focus more on the wargaming aspect, and along with the New England gaming, instead of board games and card games and all that sort of other stuff. That stuff I cover on Geeks explicitly, if I cover it at all. So he had mentioned that that was his favorite show, and that he loved my Zombie Dice episode, that he picked up Zombie Dice, I think in part because of my review and how much I love Zombie Dice. I wish that I could make money off every time someone has bought Zombie Dice because of either an episode, podcast episode where I've talked about it, or because in person I've said how wonderful it is. I can think of at least 4 or 5 people just off the top of my head, easy, who picked up copies of it. You forget, I even got 10% of that. The game's $13.13. So you figure 10% of that is, oh, let's see, a little quick math. And of course, I am not doing math correctly because math and I, we don't get along. So that's $1.31, which is easy math, and I should have got that, right? So if you figure 5 people that, I just made almost $7 if I got 10%. Of course I don't. I suppose if people bought it through my Amazon affiliate link, where it doesn't cost you any extra, but it helps us pay for things since Amazon gives us a little bit of money. I'm sure, you know, something like that, I could have made a little something. So if you want to buy Zombie Dice, I don't really want to turn the show into buy stuff and help me out, but if you want to buy Zombie Dice, we'll have a link in the show notes, so that way you can go ahead and click that. But anyway, we had so much fun, and then afterwards, he's like, do you want to just kind of hang out afterwards? We can, like, get a beer or something in the hotel bar. It was closed, and I was like, sure. So he went back to his room, and he did a few things, got some stuff together, and I dropped my games off and picked up some beers that I had in my room. And then we hung out in his room, and we just chatted, just hung out and drank beer, did guy stuff, and just chilled and chatted about games and movies and our lives and just talked for hours. We hung out and it was so much fun. Next thing I know, I thought I was there for a half hour, maybe an hour at most. And I got there, oh geez, 1 o'clock. And I'm looking at the clock and he's looking at the clock and I'm like, why am I sleepy all of a sudden? And it's because it's like 5:30, 5:45 in the morning. And I'm like, oh crap. As much fun as I was having, as much as I wanted to just stay and chill some more, I was like, I have to get my ass in bed because there's a panel first thing in the morning that I wanted to go to. It was how to run a convention. I thought it was going to be starting at 10 and I checked, and I'm glad I left Patrick when I did so I could go get some shut-eye because the panel was actually at 9, which meant if I was going to push it, I had to be up by 8 so I could shower, eat, and then get at the panel. When all is said and done, 3 hours of sleep, I got up and I was like, I really don't want to get up. I just want to stay in bed. 3 hours of sleep later, I was up. I managed to get some sort of breakfast quickly and then ease into a seat at the How to Run a Convention panel. And one of the reasons why I wanted to go to that is not because there's going to be a Wargaming Recon convention anytime soon near you. Although maybe someday, if you guys keep on listening, we could get a game day together somewhere or something. That would be really cool. But I went because Promotional Director Angela was going to be there. And Angela, as I've mentioned before, and as she's talked about in the past 2 interviews that she's done here on Wargaming Recon, she's an introvert. And it's kind of out of her comfort zone, although she pushes herself there for the con, but it's out of her comfort zone to be out there, really. So I thought to myself, I want to support her, and I want to sit in the audience, and that way she'll have a friendly face. Well, of course, what do you know what? Ben Gerber and his wife had the same idea, so it was great. So we hung out there, and we were the only people who were in the audience who have never run a convention. It was very informative to hear all the do's and the don'ts, legal things to worry about, making sure you concentrate on your contract with the hotel and get everything in writing, and things that don't apply to you, make sure you get them taken out. Just all the different problems you can have and the do's and the don'ts. So it was really cool for me because I was live blogging that over at Troll in the Corner. You can see the live blog by heading over to trollitc.com. I'll have a direct link in the show notes to the live blog, which after the fact, probably not going to mean as much to you because you're going to hear me talk about all sorts of stuff here on this episode, but you can kind of see my stream of consciousness there in the live blog. After the panel, I thought, I really just want to get some sleep because I am exhausted, but I couldn't because by the time the panel was over, I was like, I'm hungry. I need to get something to eat, but I wasn't really sure what to do. And I honestly still don't remember how I ate lunch. I must have eaten it. But the next thing I remember is I'm trying to get to a meeting I have with the owner of Your Move Games, Mr. Chad Ellis. Chad had contacted me a while back, and I've talked about this a little bit on the show previously, but he had contacted me a while back because he was talking with one of the hosts of the Dice Tower, Tom Vassell, I believe. He's talking about him, about TotalCon, and he ended up on the TotalCon site, and he happened to see, and this was in the early year days of this year's con before all of these other things got put up, but he happened to see a logo there for Wargaming Recon as a sponsor. He's like, oh, let me check this out. And he found out about us here at Wargaming Recon and sent me an email, wanted to get together, talked about his game, and said, come on down. Let's get some time together, and I want to talk to you about the game and explain it, and, you know, maybe you can review it or whatever sometime. So I had a meeting with Chad, and I got there a little early, and I walked around the room, and I saw the game being played. It's called Battleground. It's a miniatures, quote-unquote, card game. And what it is really cool. I kind of talked about this in the live blog, which, of course, you're not able to read right now because you're listening to this podcast. But Battleground, it's a card game that's a minis game. And you're thinking, how can a card game be a minis game? So let's think about this for a second. If you're playing a miniatures game, you're playing a miniatures war game, whether it's Black Powder or whatever, you need to have your terrain, which is all 3D. You need to have your models, which are all 3D. They're in cases. You have lots of stuff. You have to set up all these tables. You have to have the time and the skill and the money to buy, assemble, and paint all of this stuff. You have to have opponents who are doing likewise. You have to be in the same space at the same amount of time. And then you have to play the game, which, if you're lucky, you can get done in 3 hours, maybe 2.5, 3 hours, maybe 4. But it could go for a very, very long time. Let's pretend you want to play one of your miniature war games while you're at work during your lunch. You have a half hour, you have an hour for lunch. You can't do it. So that's where a game like Battleground comes in. And Battleground has a fantasy and now brand new historical line of games. So what this is, it's all high-res computer glossy graphics on cards. And it allows you to play a game using cards that's like playing with miniatures. It eliminates a lot of the thresholds into gaming that some people may not be able to come across and surmount in order to play miniatures war games. There's nothing to paint, nothing to assemble. It's not collectible, so you don't have to worry about that. It's not a money sink. It's affordable. You can get a deck of cards. A starter deck is $14.95, I believe, and a reinforcement deck is $14.95. And if you have the two of those, that's all the stuff you're ever going to need for that one army. You can buy other armies if you want. Or the historical one, it's $24.95 for the Second Punic War. That's for the basic game, and then there's a reinforcements one. It's Carthage and Rome. All the cards you need to play. You need a flat surface, D6, and you could use in a dry erasable marker, and that's about it. So you can have zero setup time, more or less. Everything you need's here. Nothing to paint, nothing to assemble, nothing to make the terrains easy peasy, and it's a quick way to play, and it's a lot of fun. Plus, it's affordable. So Your Move Games has done the unthinkable. It's turned a minis game into a card game and made it awesome. Now, I was there, and I felt bad because I was kind of running out of steam. I was exhausted because I had 3 hours of sleep, which I guess is no excuse because I knew that beforehand and I knew that I had the stuff coming up and I had to be on the ball. But I was there and Chad's explaining it all to me and it was really, really cool. And I really enjoyed it, but coupling my lack of sleep and coupling that with the fact that the room, for whatever reason, was abnormally hot, I was just like, oh my god, I'm dying in here. And after I hung out there for a while, I went up and I took a nap and I was just like, I need my sleep. Me so sleepy. And then I was out like a light and I got up in an hour because I wanted to go see something awesome called Project London, which is a sci-fi movie. And wouldn't you know it, instead of starting at 3, it got pushed back to 4, which meant I couldn't see it. And that was okay because I managed to have some time to get to the vendor room on Saturday. While in the vendor room, I got to see all sorts of really cool stuff. But first, I should back up for a moment because I need to thank Chad, although I'm going to be talking about him again in a moment, but I need to thank him because he gave me some review product, which I am eager to dig into and will appear on a future episode of Wargaming Recon. He gave me the Second Punic War Basic Game and Reinforcements deck. He gave me the Battleground Fantasy Umenzi Tribesmen Starter and Reinforcement deck and the Battleground Kingdoms, which is a campaign scenario kind of system that's used with Battleground Fantasy. And a cool thing is you can blend the historical, such as Second Punic War, with the fantasy. There's all sorts of different fantasy armies, so you can have these weird kind of matchups, but it could be really cool. And for the true historical gamer, not something you're going to do, but you might like sticking just with the Second Punic War. So anyway, back to the vendor hall. I had walked around the vendor hall on Friday, but I went on Saturday with the intention to buy. I had money in hand, and I said, I'm going to go buy some stuff. So I walked around, and it was really cool. I visited the folks over at Crossroad Games. I had a lot of fun with them on Friday night. I talked about Ben and Jeremy previously. Brendan, rather. I don't know why I said Ben. I know why, because Ben and his wife and I, we were all... Anyway, as you can tell, it's later in the evening that I'm recording this, and I'm doing my best, folks. I'm sorry. So Brendan and Jeremy, they had a lot of fun with them on Friday, and Ben and his wife, Jen. So we had a lot of fun. I went over to their booth over at Crossroad Games because I wanted to pick up a copy of Gloom. I've been looking for this for a long time. It's a card game, kind of a fun casual game, where the purpose is you need to make your family in the game as unhappy as possible. And if you do, you get points and you win and cool stuff. They didn't have it, but they are such good business people that they didn't care that they didn't have it. They didn't care that they weren't going to make a buck off me. They cared about getting me, the customer, what I wanted. So they checked around, and the booth next to them had it, which was the folks from Foam Brain Games. So I purchased a few games over there. I bought Gloom. I bought We Didn't Playtest This At All, which is a great game. And also by the people from We Didn't Playtest This At All, I bought a game called Win, Lose, or Banana, which cost $1. And this is a really simple, bizarre, casual, kind of fun game. Now, you're hearing some crinkling, and hopefully not in post-production, because hopefully I'm going to take that out. So the rules are really simple. They're like a page rules, and it says, step one, draw a card. Step two, read it out loud. Step three, question mark. Step four, profit. And then you can alternate it and do all sorts of different things. But basically how they demoed it for me, you can either have it as a two-player game, where one, you have a dealer who shuffles a card, and someone else picks a card, and whatever card they get, they get lose, they lose. If they get win, if they get banana, oh look, banana! It's so crazy, right? Or you could do a three-player game. So let's pretend there's three of us playing right now. So player one gets a card, player two gets a card, player three gets a card. Nobody can look at the cards. Whoever gets the win card has to turn it up and say, oh, I get the win card. Now it's up to the other two people, one of which has the you lose card and one of which has a banana card, to try to convince the winner that they have the banana card. So it doesn't matter if you have the lose card, doesn't matter if you have the banana card. You gotta do your best to be the most convincing to say, I have the banana card. So the people over at Foam Brain Games, they demoed this and I had the you lose card and the vendor had win and one of his assistants turned out had banana. And so I said to him, well, bananas are really cool. they taste good. I like them in my cereal. He's like, I don't know. I'm not sure if I believe you. And I was like, and it's kind of funny when women eat them. And he goes, I think you might have the banana card. And part of it, I think he was just doing because I wanted to buy the game. And sure enough, I had the lose card. And what that meant was, although he had originally drawn the win card, he lost because he guessed incorrectly. And I won because I deceived him into thinking I had the banana card. If he had picked the other person who actually had the banana card, he would have won. Again, stupid, silly game. It's a dollar. How could I say no? So I picked those three games up there. And I ventured back to Crossroad Games, and I was kind of looking around and looking at stuff, trying to decide what I wanted. And then lo and behold, I saw that they had a copy of Red Dragon Inn, which I love. I've talked about this, I think, previously here on Wargaming Recon. It's one of those games that's just a lot of fun. Basic premise is, pretend you're a group of people who play role-playing games. You're the actual characters, and you're done with your adventure. And afterwards, you're hanging out in the inn, and you're drinking, and craziness happens. So in this game, you are a different character, and you lose when you have these two tokens. One token represents how drunk you are. One token represents your physical damage. When they are together, wherever they are on the board, you lose. It's a four-player game. You can buy the expansions to expand it. Each expansion has four additional characters, allowing four more players to play. I play the first two, the base game and the first expansion. They have a second expansion, which actually I may have also played, and then a third one. So there's Red Dragon Inn, Red Dragon Inn 2, Red Dragon Inn 3. I played Red Dragon Inn and Red Dragon Inn 2. A lot of fun. Been meaning to pick them up for a long time, and I just happened to do it there. While I was in the vendor hall, it was really cool because I met a local guy to me, and I'm going to refer to him by the name of his company. His name is Chris, and his company is Boston Greek Geek. He does PC repairs and custom builds. You can find him at bostongreekgeek.com. I promised Chris that I would talk about him on the show and the Facebook page. But what's really cool about him is he's a fan of Ben Gerber's inadvertently. He's a fan of a game Ben has created called Ninja, which I am going to talk about on Geeks Explicitly in a later show of Wargaming Recon, although it's not wargaming or anything. It's kind of stupid and silly. But Ben has this game where you have to find innovative ways to kind of prank your friends with this ninja. It's a card. You can download it free online. It's color. You can print it out. You can buy the game and think it's like $12.99, $13 from the game crafter. And then you find innovative ways to give it to your friends. And once they have it, they lose. So Chris found out about this on G+, liked it so much, he printed out all the cards for free, laminated them all. Then he printed out the rules, shrunk them down, and put them onto a trifold, and taped a ninja card to the rules, and he was going around at the con, handing it out, because he wanted to promote the game. He's going to be doing it at PAX, different conventions, area things. He lives in the same town I do. He's part of a meetup group that plays board games that's met at my work and met at another library where a buddy of mine is. He knows two of my buddies from work. So it was just really cool to see him and see his passion for this game Ninja. It was just a lot of fun to see that. And then after hanging out with him for a little bit and buying at Bone Brain Games and at Crossroad Games, I headed over to a big corner booth that had tons of t-shirts and dragons and all sorts of really cool kind of fantasy things called the Dragon's Lair. And they're there, well, I'm going to say every year, but they were there last year and the year before. And it was really cool because they always have fantastic statues and just tons of t-shirts. Someone had told me that they had a lot of Doctor Who t-shirts. And my wife is a huge Doctor Who fan. So I thought to myself, I got to go and get her a t-shirt. I want to get a little something, bring it back for her, and just show her how much I appreciate her allowing me to come to the con. And even though she wasn't going to come, just allowing me to stay and all sorts of cool stuff. So I hunted around and I found a really cool Doctor Who t-shirt. It has a bunch of different words and phrases from Doctor Who. I've only seen a few episodes, so I was not familiar with them all, but I know she would be. And the words were arranged in such a way so as to form the TARDIS. And if you don't know what the TARDIS is, you can look it up on Google. It's a British police call box. It looks like a regular old telephone call box, the red ones, but this is blue because it's a police one. And so I bought that. And then I picked up a t-shirt for myself because I love for whatever reason. I don't really know why, but I love the Daleks. I love how they go, exterminate. And they're just, I mean, they're so evil, but something about them just really strikes my fancy. So there was a cool t-shirt. It was gray. It had a picture of a Dalek in color. And then across it in big letters, it said, exterminate. And I thought, oh, man, I got to get that for myself. And so I did, and I really appreciated it because they're a local company, actually. They're in Massachusetts in Andover. You can find out about them at www.anddragonsomai.com. And I mentioned to them about the podcast and that I would be talking about them on the show and told them I would send them an email to let them know when it's going to be coming out so they can listen to it. One of the things I really appreciated, besides the high-quality product that they have, is that they take debit and credit card. And on top of that, I appreciated that unlike a lot of businesses, both brick and mortar and all sorts of other places, they actually asked me for ID because my card says you need to ask for ID. They took a peek, they looked at the picture, compared it to me. Maybe they've gotten burned in the past, I don't know, but I appreciated that they went to that extra mile to make sure that I was who I was saying I was, to make sure that I wasn't going to be taken advantage of as a customer, because for all they knew, someone stole my card and was pretending to be me and was going to rack up tons of charges on me. That everything worked out to make sure that things were okay on their end. They were very friendly. They were helpful. And then they gave me some flyers and stuff so that I could keep up with them after I mentioned about the podcast and everything. So I really appreciated it. And it was a lady and her daughter who were there. The woman's husband, I guess, and her are the ones who own the company. It's Edward and Dorothy Trachtenberg. And I just really appreciated all that they had done. So if you are ever in the area of Andover or just hopping on the net and need some really cool fantasy or dragon stuff or t-shirts or geeky kind of things, please, please, please check out the Dragon's Lair at www.anddragonsomai.com. Oh my. And be sure to check them out. And I'm hoping if the Trachtenbergs are listening to this episode, that they just know how appreciative I am. I'm the guy who came up to you wearing a blue t-shirt with a little logo on it that said Wargaming Recon and mentioned the podcast. So I hope you are listening and enjoying this. And I just want to tell you how much I appreciate all you did, that I just loved all the products that you had there. And I wish I had the money that I could have bought them all. So anyway, by this point, I was done and Adrian and Court had shown up. And I think they had walked around the vendor room with me for a while. After so many days, things are kind of blending together. And then I said, well, do you guys want to check out Battleground? And so they went in, and Adrian and Court had a demo of it, and Court actually is familiar with the game because his son has tons of stuff. One of the cool things that Your Move Games was doing was if you had a demo, whoever won got to keep the deck that you played with, because one deck was enough stuff for two people to play. So they played with dwarfs, and Court actually won, so by right, he should have had the deck. But because he has all this stuff, his son anyway has all of it, he told Adrian to keep it, and Adrian had so much fun. You have to realize that Adrian and Court, they're old school gamers. They're old school war gamers. They're really into the minis and all that stuff. They love doing it, and they do a fantastic job. That Adrian loved this game so much, this card, quote-unquote, minis game, that he wants to buy more and more of it. I think this is going to become a game that will enter into our usual and regular rotation. So they just had a blast. And by that point, we said, you know what, it's time for dinner, and we want to get together and do a little pre-talking about our game, because after dinner, we had a setup and run Battle of Freeman's Farm. So we had dinner at the hotel restaurant, and I wish I could say all sorts of wonderful things about it. Unfortunately, the service wasn't so great. The food wasn't cooked as well. And this is also unusual because normally whenever I've eaten there, things have been great. The place wasn't even that busy, but our waitress, I don't know, just things were not so great. And so we were, let's just say, disappointed. Took a long time. I'm not going to beat a dead horse. But after that, we got all our stuff and they got stuff out of the car, headed on into the minis room for our game. And I met up with the miniatures coordinator, event coordinator, Steve Parento, who is, yes, the husband of Angela. And I was like, Steve, can you help me out? I was told by your wife that you could put me out to what table the event's going to be. And I want to know if anyone pre-registered, because Agent Cord and myself were worried that nobody would pre-register. We didn't want to come to this and do all this work, especially them, because they've done the lion's share of the painting and assembly and terrain making, only to find out that nobody's going to play in the game. So we were worried about that. Well, he found out what was going to be going on, and turned out 4 people pre-registered, so we found a table, started it set up, and lo and behold, this teenager started walking by, kept on walking back and forth, and I'm thinking to myself, he looks familiar. Why does he look familiar? I can't place it, but I feel like I know him. And then I figured it out. He played in our event last year, the Black Powder game set in the American Civil War, Daybreak at Hingman's Creek, and he played in that, and I thought, I think that's him. Well, what do you know it? He was walking back and forth because he came up to me, and he's like, I recognized you, and I was trying to look at your name tag, but I didn't want to be creepy about it. His name's Ethan, but he was walking back and forth because he remembered me from last year, and he wanted to play in the game. And I said, Ethan, of course, we have, 4 people pre-registered, so I believe we have room for 1 more, and you're in. And so we waited and waited and waited for the pre-reg. Meanwhile, throughout the course of the game, while we were waiting originally and then later on, Angela came in and checked in on us a couple times. This is something she really only, as far as I know, ever does with the industry guests. So it was just another way that her and the con staff made me feel like a rock star, made me feel extra special, made me feel as awesome as the industry guests. So I really appreciated it. And she mentioned that a lot of the historical gamers, because apparently a lot of historical gamers go to TotalCon, but they go to play other games because they figured they're going to play historical games at cons like Huzzah and Havoc, that they had told her they were leaving early. It was supposed to snow a little bit at the con, and it did. We only got about 1 to 3 inches down in southeastern Mass, but most of the snow was going to northern New England, and most of the historical gamers live in New Hampshire, Vermont, Maine, and they wanted to get home before they got snowed into the con. To me, worst things in the world than getting snowed into a convention. But if you're going to be having to get into work for 9 o'clock on a Monday morning, you can't be snowed in down in southeastern Mass. So they skedaddled. I don't blame them in the least for having to get home. But that meant that we had a game. We had one person ready to play, and we had originally intended for 5 people to play. We weren't really sure what to do, and we just waited a little bit longer in case anyone else wanted in. And finally, we said, do you know what, we're just going to go ahead and do this, because we didn't want Ethan to be sitting there and thinking, oh, I'm going to play and then not get a game in, because that just wasn't cool. We're all about growing the hobby. We know that the hobby is graying, that so many wargamers are getting older and older and sadly dying off, and the people coming in to replenish our rings, they're not as numerous as one would hope, so any chance we can get to get kids and anyone into the hobby is something we're going to do. We're going to take that chance and make it as fun as possible. So Ethan and I were on the same team. We played as the Brits. I let him pick. And Cord and Adrian were on the other side. They played as the Americans. If you have the Black Powder rulebook, you can read the scenario and see how it's supposed to go. Well, Ethan took control of Hamilton's brigade. He figured, cool, it has a lot of troops, and I told him, out of all the British forces, it's really the most straightforward. So he took that, and then I took Fraser's and Von Breiman's brigades, and then we came in, and we tried to go, and the stage was set by saying that the British are advancing, and we talked a little bit about Freeman's Farm and Northern First Saratoga, but that the British are advancing because they've been told that there are American rebels somewhere in the area, and all that was on the board was the terrain, Hamilton's brigade, Fraser's brigade, Von Breiman's brigade, and that was it. Now, I knew because of playtesting, but I tried to forget all this extra stuff so that it would be, meta knowledge and not in-game knowledge. But Ethan didn't know that some Americans were hidden, deployed on the table. And so a few turns went, and we were trying to go, and we're just not rolling well, and we're advancing, and finally, the Americans show up on turn 3, because turn 2, they didn't roll well enough, but on turn 3, Morgan's brigade revealed themselves, and Poor's and Learned started coming on ever so slowly, forming battle lines on the our side of the stream there, and we're just trying to do the best we can, and Ethan's doing a really good job considering the last time, and I think the first time he played Black Powder was last year at Hingman's Creek, And he's rolling and doing damage, and we're trying to do what we can, and I'm just not rolling well. And it was just, it was all sorts of crazy. You could feel the craziness and the hecticness and the uncertainty of battle. You could smell the smoke in the air, and we're trying to do what we can do so we can get those rebels and subdue them and say, hey, listen, you are members of the British Empire. You're colonists who report to the crown. You got to pay your taxes. You got to be good people. Put down your weapons and stop this crazy nonsense and behave. And instead, we're getting our butts kicked. And wouldn't you know it, and I felt awful about this, but wouldn't you know it, that Ethan ends up losing his pickets, which they lasted a lot longer than they've ever lasted in any other playtesting. But after he lost them, he ended up having enough damage done to his brigade to cause a broken brigade. And I felt awful. Out of anything, I would have preferred it to happen to me because, you know, I'm running the game with Adrian and Cord. We're playing it so Ethan can play. But he's the player. He's here for the cool event. And he has a broken brigade. So I felt terrible. But there's an ace up our sleeves. Partly in this scenario, I can't take full credit for it. Partly historically accurate. So whenever there would be a broken brigade, the first broken brigade, and I hope I'm not giving anything away because you can read it in the book, but whenever there would be a first broken brigade, one side or the other, depending on the broken brigade, would be giving a report. And I had printed out and made these little cool, like, scouting reports, and I made it look all antique-y, and I crumpled it up and, you know, distressed it and all that sort of stuff to give it the air of authenticity. And if an American brigade broke, then the British commander, the general, would be given this and would be told, sir, scouts have this report for you. And they would open it up and it would say something like, General von Riedisel's forces is attacking the Americans in their right flank. Now, since Hamilton's brigade was the first broken brigade, the Americans were giving a little thing. I came up and I said, oh, general, scouts have a report for you, and it said that the enemy forces are attacking in your flank. And what this meant was that Ethan, now since he had a broken brigade, he needed something else to command, because broken brigades, they just keep on falling back from the enemy. They can't advance towards them. They can shoot, but you can't charge, and they're more or less useless. So he needed people to use, and he could have had any of my brigades, but there were too many special roles, and I was kind of getting beat up anyway, and I don't want to give him something that was going to be broken already. So you got Radiesel's forces, and they had to come in off the table along the wood trail, coming into the right flank of the Americans, and wouldn't you know it, the roll didn't work. Couldn't get them on. But our opponents saw that, and they had the scouting report, so they knew it. Court had his forces kind of shift around, and they had their lines ready for when Radiesel would come in. Knew it was just a matter of time. Next turn, Ethan tried to get them on, and I suggested that the distance of Courtsmen were far enough back, they were really, really, really far back, that Ethan, with the way we were rolling, could have had them come on and march column, advance, and then form line. And I was sure of it, because the way it was, with them coming in a march column on the road, ending up and everything, would have been a +2 with a command rating of 8, which meant he would need to roll a 10 or less. And I figured, surely on 2d6, he's going to definitely roll 7 or less, allowing 3 moves. I'm figuring even 6 or less. And that would definitely give the 3 moves necessary to come on the table, advance far enough, and form line. No. And I'm not blaming him. The dice just weren't with us. Got enough for 2, which meant they came on, they advanced, still in column. That's right, still in march column. The artillery battery came on. That's right, advanced, didn't unlimber. Didn't have enough orders to unlimber. Courtsmen, the Americans, they were ready. Poured fire into us like you wouldn't believe. And I was fully expecting another broken brigade and that would be the game. No, oddly enough, Ethan rolled so well on his saves, so well on his morale checks. Radiesel's brigade stayed. They took some damage, but they stayed, and they weren't even shaken. They were in pretty good shape. The person who let us down was me, because von Breimann's brigade was small, and some of the regiments were smaller, took enough damage, caused me to have a broken brigade, which meant we had a broken army, and we lost. But it was a lot of fun. And then afterwards, after the cleanup and everything, and Ethan was such fun to play with. He was so good. And just really enjoyed trying to promote the hobby and have kids play. That afterwards, Adrian and I, after everything got put away and everything, Adrian and I kind of hung out in the hotel bar. He had, I don't know, some scotch or whiskey, and I had a beer. And just chilled and talked about the game. And then Patrick. Do you remember Patrick? I talked about him earlier. Patrick came down because I sent him a text and said, why don't you come down and hang out with us? And he came down and joined us. And I was going to hang out with him later. But I don't know if it was all the talking I was doing or what it was. But I was feeling a little under the weather. My throat was a little sore. And I was exhausted. And I was just going to put my stuff down in the room. And then I was going to go hang out with him anyway. We're going to hang out for an hour or whatever. But no. And I ended up being too tired. And I sent him a text. I'm like, I'm sorry, Patrick. I'm just exhausted. And I had to get rest. So I slept. And then Sunday of the con. Yes, Sunday. Because the con was a multiple day event. Sunday, after 5 hours of sleep, I had a panel I had to get to. I was not on a panel, but I had to get to it. It was a podcasting 1.0 panel. And this was a really cool panel because it had Tom Bassel and Eric Summerer, co-hosts of the highly successful Dice Tower podcast. Ben Gerber. Yes, Ben Gerber of Troll in the Corner. Of Indie Talks and Grown Geeks, which he is a host and co-host of. He's been on this show, I think, once, and he's also been on my other show, Geeks Explicitly. And then Peter Blix Bryant of the Tri-Tac Games podcast and ConMed podcast. They were all on the panel to talk about podcasting. And I've been podcasting since 2006. Although those earliest years, I give the date, but I don't really fully count because it wasn't consistent like it is now. And I wasn't as dedicated as I am now. I don't think I was as good as I am now, but I wanted to get some tips because I thought, I'm doing what I'm doing, but I can improve it. We can always improve it. I want to give you a better listening experience. I want to do the best I can to make this a great show for you to listen to. And I said, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to be supportive and I'm going to take notes. And I want to do all I can to make a great show. So I'm going to go over some of the notes here. Normally I wouldn't just read stuff, but these are notes that I live blogged. I'm going to go over them. I have multiple pages, mainly because I blew them up so I could read them better here on the show. And do you know what? Let's just get right into it. These are my notes from the Podcasting 1.0 panel. The beginning of the panel talked about recording and editing, because editing is a huge pain in the tuchus. It is my least favorite part of podcasting, and if I could get away not editing, I would. You guys know I do what I call a light form of editing, very minimal. I try to make it sound pretty, try to remove some of the ums and ahs, and actually try to train myself to not do that so much. Otherwise, I get rid of long pauses when noticed, and that's about it. I don't edit as tightly as I should, which is why I'm never going to receive an editing award as long as I keep doing this. But what I thought was interesting was that the Dice Tower, and they're highly successful, they get something like 14 to 20,000 downloads per episode. They do it weekly. They had a successful Kickstarter, which allowed them to do a whole year, or they will be doing a whole year podcast without sponsors, without advertising. It allows Tom Bassel, the founder and co-host of the Dice Tower, to do this as his job, his full-time job. My podcasting dream anyway, to do it as his job. So what they do is they spend a lot of time per episode. They spend 2 to 3 hours to edit whatever contributor content they get. So let's pretend you're calling into their show, you're saying, oh, these are my thoughts on whatever, or they have a guest or any of that kind of stuff. 2 to 3 hours just to edit that content. They use a Google Doc so that they can both access it, so that way they can have a brief description for top 10. They do top 10 every time, top 10 games, top whatever. So that way they can have a little brief description and just kind of use it as a talking point for it. Then they take 3 to 4 hours to record their episodes. They do 2 shows back to back. On top of that, it takes 3 hours to edit each episode. Eric does a multi-track for the recording, which basically means that each person's on a different track. It's better for editing because they record separately. So they do that. Then Tom does 2 more hours of prep. He does post-production kind of stuff where he fixes the levels, he posts about it, he does PR stuff, he adds the music. Then he sends an hour on top of that to send stuff out to all of the contributors and all that kind of stuff. From beginning to end, they say, and you can check my math and see whether what they say is true or not, but they say it takes 6 to 8 hours from soup to nuts, really. So 2 to 3 hours to edit the contributor content. You figure 2 hours per episode, so that's minimum 4 hours for recording and contributor content. Then 3 hours to edit it, so that brings it up to 7, plus 2 more hours that Tom does on prep and everything else. So that's, I'm getting 9 hours per episode, really, and that's minimum. But they say 6 to 8 hours to do everything, and that's on the high end. That's a super high quality show. That's probably something like what Leo Laporte does, Adam Carolla, those kind of guys. Now, the other people on the panel talked about stuff, and one of the things that was mentioned was that as important as editing is, that you don't want to do too much because it becomes too obvious. It sounds like you're scripting what you're saying. It sounds robotic. That you want to have just some phrases to use as guidelines. I use a Wunder list, which I've talked about before. It's a list kind of program. You can get it. It's free online, free for your smart devices. I just put talking points. So when I record, I look, I have it on my iPad. I just kind of scroll down, and right now I'm like, oh, it's Sunday, and I'm talking, 5 hours of sleep later, was at the Podcasting 1.0 panel, and I mentioned all the people, and that was enough for me to remember to go everything. But the other people talked about how they record, especially how you can record with people who are not in your studio. So Tom and Eric, they record separately. Ben Gerber mentioned using Google Plus Hangouts because you can see the other people, which is great, because if you use something like Skype, you hear the other person, it's like a phone call, but you can't see them, you can't pick up on the visual cues like you could in the studio. One of the problems with that is, it's hard to know when the other person is going to stop talking, so that you can start talking. And something like G Plus makes it easier for that. He talked about the ease of auto-uploading it to YouTube and getting all that kind of stuff. Blitz mentioned that he uses Skype, and that when he does TriTac, there's 5 people on there. That one person gets all 5 tracks, puts them into Audacity, edits it, and all that kind of stuff. That Blitz has said he spent as much as 6 hours editing the 5 tracks. And he uses a program called iFree Skype Recorder, which I actually have to look up. They all suggested that you should avoid recording into a single track, and that editing is the number one hurdle to podcasting. I would say that too. They've mentioned, and I agree with this, that interviews are tough because you need to edit for content too, especially if the guest talks too long or if they don't have enough. Sometimes you have to prod. I find whenever I have an interview or someone guesting here on the show, I try to do more and more editing because I want to make sure that they look as good as possible. There were tons and tons of other great suggestions. For example, they mentioned that content is king. That if you wouldn't listen to your own show, that you shouldn't do it. That if your show is boring, don't do the podcast. They mentioned how important it is to retain your focus, to have an interest and focus on it. Don't have it too narrow, but you need to have that happy medium. For example, TriTac talks about games in general, but the one rule is that no matter what they're talking about with gaming, they have to bring it back to a TriTac Games product somehow, because if it doesn't come back, it's not worthwhile. It is a TriTac Games podcast. I do my best to try to bring everything back here on Wargaming Recon to something wargaming-ery, something New England-ish, something historical, somehow tie it into all of that, because if I don't do it, it's not Wargaming Recon. It's some other show. It's not what you're here for. They've also said that by doing this, you can really become an expert in your subject. I'm not saying I'm an expert. I'm about as far away from an expert as you get. But if you listen to a show like the Ancient Warfare podcast, which is about the Ancient Warfare magazine, the people on there, they are experts. They know about it beforehand, but by doing the podcast, they become more and more of an expert. Ben talked about not having a focus so much on content, but about format, that his format is interviewing. He has people in the independent movement of gaming and all that kind of stuff. They talk about movies and TV and all that stuff. And doing that, and that no matter what, one of the things you really have to worry about and really need to focus on is engaging your audience. That the number of people who listen to your show, the number of people who download, that doesn't matter. You could have 5 billion people downloading your podcast every episode, and if they're not engaged, it doesn't matter. You could have 5 people who listen to every show of yours, And if they're highly engaged, those five people are worth 10 million billion gazillion people downloading because they're engaged, they like what you do, and it's important to give back. I try to give back, and I've been focusing lately, spending a lot of time on Facebook, not just promoting Wargaming Recon, but trying to share things that I think are of interest to you, things that you are doing, because community is important to me. I really care about what you're doing. I care about you, the listener. You guys are great. I appreciate it all. And I want to give back. I want to give back to you guys and share what you do. And it's not just, you know, trying to get a good return on my investment, so to speak. It's about promoting what you do and showing that I care. Now, this panel was called Podcasting 1.0. It was trying to help people who are interested in getting into podcasting. So they talked numbers a little bit. They said in the beginning that chances are you're not going to get a lot of people listening. And I learned this firsthand way back in 2006. They said that, you know, it's probably a good idea that you should think carefully about your show name because it's hard to change it, that you should record a few episodes and maybe make your fourth episode the first one you air because by then you're going to find your voice. It always helps to have some episodes in, as a buffer so that, say, you can't record 1 week, you can put one of these other episodes out, and that no matter what, you have to keep at it. Your numbers may be low, but if you stick with it, things will work up. Tom Bassel talked about the Dice Tower, and I'm talking about Tom a lot, mainly because they are so successful, Tom and Eric, with the show The Dice Tower. They're hugely successful, and they're doing so much right, that he said they tried to start a new Dice Tower show called The Dice Tower News Show, and in the first day, they had under 100 downloads. Now, if it was me, I'd be like, 100 downloads, woo! But for the Dice Tower, 100 downloads, bad, because you're thinking they get about 14,000. So they were trying to figure out why, and they just kept up with it and kept at it. And then, next thing you know, it's gotten up to 1,300 downloads, and they're sure by the end of this year, it'll be up to 5,000 an episode. Tri-Tac Games, thousands of listeners per episode, little feedback, but they don't get any negative feedback either. So it's really cool. They've mentioned some other great things. For example, in this episode right here, I've been talking a little quickly now because I'm really excited. But they suggest that I should slow down, make it easier to understand, that having a slower vocal pattern and speed is helpful, makes it easier for you, the listener, to listen. Because if I'm going bibbidi 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 bibbidi, you're going to say, what the heck did Jonathan just say? And you might have to listen to it 2, 3, 4 times to get it. You may not have the time to do that, and you shouldn't have to. So a good podcaster, a good podcast host, is going to speak slowly and going to speak in such a way that you can understand what's being said. They also mentioned on the panel a thing that I thought was just me, but apparently it's a lot of podcasters, that most people and most podcasters don't like the sound of their voice, and said that you shouldn't worry about the sound of your voice in as much as focusing on the content and giving it your best. That you should be expressive. Talk to the mic like it's a person. One of the things I noticed, which I've mentioned earlier in my live recording from the con, was that when I was at the Dice Tower live recording, Eric Summerer, who is a voice actor by trade, he's narrated audiobooks and stuff, there was one section, and he got up and close to that mic, and he was focused on it, and he was acting, and he was so expressive. His face changed. His whole body changed. Arms are moving. Hands are moving. Everything. And I've read and heard that when you're podcasting, a way to help get in the groove is be expressive. Feel it. So sometimes when I am recording, like right there, you're probably going to hear a little odd thing. It's because I'm being expressive, and my hand hit the mic, and I'm going to be moving my arms and doing stuff, and I'm getting into it. I'm feeling it. I'm warmed up, and you can probably tell in my voice, too. Now, before I talk too long about the panel, I actually have just a couple last things to say, that they all gave some closing thoughts, and I'm actually missing one of them, which would be bad. Well, I can find that. So, they gave some closing thoughts and how you can get in touch. Peter Blix Bryant said, don't forget how much time it takes to edit. Nothing wrong with light editing. You can get a natural flow to the show, but some editing has to be done. Ben Gerber wanted to remind people that you should not start a podcast to get rich or to become famous, that you should do it because it's something you love and you are willing to talk about it, about I'm stumbling because I'm trying to read this and my notes don't even make sense, but that you should do it because you love it and you're willing to talk about it and just talk a long time about what you love, that you should do it because you love doing it. Tom Vassell said that podcasters need to remember, and I've been guilty of this in the past, that you are, quote, not working for a news network. Don't worry about an expose. Be friends with other podcasters in the industry. Just tell the truth, but have fun doing it. Don't hole up in the corner and fight the world. It's not fun. And he's right. It's not fun. And then Eric Sommer said to know your voice. Know what makes you different from the rest of the people out there. You might need a partner if you don't want to edit or if you could use a little assessment. So I found it very interesting to hear what they all had to say and very informative. I really appreciated it, and hopefully in the coming episodes, you will notice an improvement in my podcasting style and you will find the episodes to be more enjoyable. One of the cool things I actually noticed was that they had said it's actually easier for a podcaster to train themselves to not use verbal crutches like ands, ums, you knows, ors, all that kind of stuff. You see, I just did it there. It's easier to train yourself to not do that than it is to catch all of them in editing, because you could spend as much time as you are alive editing a show, but you're better off just going ahead and trying to train yourself to not do those things. After the panel, I actually had a great time because I hung out with Blix. He felt bad. I had mentioned earlier to him, in the weeks leading up to the con, I mentioned I wanted to pick his brain about some podcasting stuff. And he felt bad that we didn't have a chance to do that beforehand. He had to get some breakfast, so I hung out with him and his buddies, Mike and Brian, and I just picked their brains on all sorts of stuff about podcasting and mixers. We talked mics. I didn't understand everything they were talking about. I understand quite a bit of it, though. But I was able to share some knowledge, and I felt good that I wasn't just leeching off stuff. And I was so grateful that he welcomed me into their group and let me sit down with them and hung out and chat. Such a great group of guys, very friendly, very knowledgeable, very funny. He was also surprised, him and Mike actually were very surprised, that I really enjoyed their show, the Con Men Podcast. They thought I was probably really into Tri-Tech games, because Blix knows I'm a listener, and I was like, I like Con Men, actually. He's like, you do? He's like, you're the one person who listens to Con Men, and I love Con Men. Haven't heard all the episodes, but I really enjoyed it, and they both suggested I listened to the Dragon Con episodes. I listened to the first two. They said those weren't the best, but the 3 and 4 were better. And they were right. Number 3 was fantastic. And the number 4 was really funny. And to prepare me for that, Blix said, there's a sound you need to prepare for that's part of Mike's story. So Mike made the sound, which I can't make, but it was like, swoosh, swoosh. And they're like, that's all you need to know. You'll figure it out when you hear the episode. So funny. If you're at all interested in funny stories or other conventions, that kind of stuff, we're going to have a link in the show notes, but you really want to head over to the Con Men Podcast. Look them up on Google and then listen to the Dragon Con episode part 4, which is the finale of the Dragon Con, where they give their thoughts on it, but also, more importantly, where you can hear the funny story that Mike has about his experience at Dragon Con. So it's episode 13, Dragon Con 2012, part 4. I highly recommend it. It's really funny. I believe it's explicit. There's probably some cursing and probably not safe for work, but it's hilarious. So please check it out. And that's all I have really about TotalCon. After I hung out with them, it started to snow. They had to get up back down to Maryland. I had to get home to my wife. I was exhausted and I wanted to sleep. And then I still had a little bit of a sore throat, so I had to deal with that in the beginning of the week, which is also partly why this recording's been delayed. But anyway, I just want to thank everybody. So we're going to have a bunch of thank yous right here. First, I want to apologize in advance if I miss anyone, but I think I'm getting everybody in. So if I missed you, it's not intentional. and I am deeply grateful. First, I want to thank Angela, the promotional director for Total Con. She's always been amazing, a huge help, and a pleasure to work with. She has encouraged me with my podcasting and with coming to the con and breaking out of my shell every year. She's been fantastic, and she's allowed me to give away free passes to the con to people and all sorts of stuff. Last year, I did a whole giveaway for that. She's been so wonderful and amazing. She's done so much this year to help make Total Con one of the best convention experiences that I have ever had. On my show, Geeks Explicitly, I mentioned that getting my press badge from her and all it represented was the fifth best highlight for me from Total Con. I can't say enough to say and show how appreciative I am. She's really one of the superstars of conventions. I haven't been to a lot of conventions, but I've been to Total Con a few times. I've been to Anime Boston its second year, Huzzah twice, Havoc once. Not tons of cons, I know, and relatively new to all this sort of stuff, but she is amazing. So a huge thank you to Angela and to her husband Steve for all his help with making sure that we knew where our table was for a fantastic time of doing, yes, the Battle of Freeman's Farm. I have to give huge thank yous, more and bigger than you can ever imagine, to Adrian and Corp. When I couldn't paint anything or put stuff together because of house hunting and buying the house and moving in and all that stuff, they shouldered the weight. And I took care of all the paperwork and the PR stuff and working with the con staff and everything. So I guess an even break, and I helped them with some stuff. But they really did all that, and it paid off. They've done such a wonderful job. Guys, I can't thank you enough. Because of you, Freeman's Farm was a success. You've done such wonderful things, and you've made it a pleasure to go to Total Con and go to conventions, a pleasure to play historical games, just pleasure to spend time with you guys. So I am truly and deeply grateful. I have to give a huge thank you to Ben Gerber and his wife Jen. They are wonderful, caring, and fantastic people. It's a pleasure working with Ben with Troll in the Corner. Had fun playing games with them at the con, playing games with them and Wayne Moulton Jr. of Sages of the RPG. Wayne, you are a great guy, and one of these days when I'm up in New Hampshire in Portsmouth, we're going to get together, we'll grab a beer or get lunch or something, I promise. I have to give thanks to the industry guests who came. I have to give a huge thank you to Blitz. I told you on Facebook, I think it was online, just how much it meant to me that you allowed me to come hang out with you guys. It means a lot to me because I look up to what you do with your podcasting. I love all the cool stuff you do as an industry guest. And I just love seeing what's happening, and the fact that you welcome me and that your buddies, Mike and Brian, are just so cool and down to earth and funny and everything. You put me at ease, and I was a little, at first I was like, oh my god, I'm sitting next to an industry guest, and I was a little starstruck, and I was like, oh, but it was so cool, and you do such a great job with Cube of Death. It's an honor to participate this year, and hopefully next year. I have to also thank you for the cool prizes that I got there. The Puerto Rico computer game, I have the cardboard game of it, and I love it, and the $5 Game Crafter gift certificate, I can't wait to use that. I have to give a huge thank you to Jay Libby because it was an honor, like, actually meeting him on a name-to-name basis and not just being like, I'm an attendee and you're an industry guest and it's cool. Okay, bye. It was really cool to meet him. I'm appreciative in advance for the demo review copy of G-Core. Have to give gigantic thank you to Chad Ellis of That's Right, Your Move Games. I really appreciate that you took the time out of your busy schedule because you're doing lots of demos and tournaments and stuff. But to talk about your game, Battleground, the fantasy and the historical, I really appreciated you taking that time out to talk about it, to do the demo for Adrian and Court, and for all the review product. I can't wait to dig into it. I'm really excited, and I really believe that this is going to be entering the regular rotation of gaming stuff that we'll be doing, my buddies and I. Huge thank you for that. Gigantic thank you. I have a lot of gigantic thank yous, but it's true. Gigantic thank you to Brendan and Jeremy from Crossroad Games. You guys are awesome. You really are just, you're so cool. I had so much fun Friday night at the con. You guys had some dinner. I had really good chocolate torte just sat there and we just hung out. You two and Ben and his wife and me just talked about all sorts of just whatever. We didn't even talk gaming really, but we hung out, had a good time, just chatted. It is so much fun chatting with you then and then popping by your booth a couple other times, just hanging out. And Jeremy, appreciate the offer. Next time I'm up in Maine near you guys to just kind of hang out and talk Downton Abbey. I do love Downton Abbey. My wife and I are huge fans of it. And just game and do cool stuff. You guys are awesome. And I look forward to spending more time with you when we're in the area. Huge thank you for that. I have to give big thanks to James Carpio because he is the games editor for Gygax Magazine. He signed my copy of Gygax Magazine. I have to give thank you to the vendors in the vendor hall, in particular Foam Brain Games. I've already thanked Crossroad Games. And then, yes, I have to give a thank you to the people over at the Dragon's Lair. You make some great t-shirts. My wife was very impressed and appreciative of it. And I talked about how much I appreciated the fact that you were protecting me by making sure that I was who I said I was and not just some crazy person trying to charge up a bill under my name. I really appreciate that. Most companies, most stores never bother to ask me for my ID. I probably shouldn't say that, but places never do. So when places do, I appreciate it because I keep an eye on things and I want to make sure things are just right. So I really appreciated that. So much stuff to be thankful for, but everyone who helped make TotalCon a success, the attendees, and most importantly, yeah, I'm sure I'm going to be making you blush because I've talked about you a lot, and don't worry, it's not going to be like this forever, but Patrick, it was deeply an honor to meet you, and I'm just going to remember it forever because they say you always remember your first, and you are the first listener of my podcast that I have ever met in person. Hasn't been a family member and hasn't been a pre-existing friend. I hope you and I get together again. I know we're going to be making plans too because you live not too far away. So it's something I'm looking forward to. Really cool. And I had so much fun. Hopefully the rest of you who are listening who are able to will be able to come to TotalCon next year or some other convention that I'm going to. Really appreciate it. And I'd love to meet you and hang out with you like I did with Patrick. I hear other podcasters like Cliff Ravenscraft and some of the other people talk about when they go to a convention or somewhere that they plan in advance. They talk with some of their listeners or say, oh, we're going to be going to whatever, and they try to get together. I know the people over at WWPD, they do this often, and they just have so much fun. It's something I would love to do. So as more and more of you become engaged listeners and as I become engaged more with you and we have cool interpersonal communications and all sorts of stuff, I'd love to be able to just hang out and chill with you guys and gals from time to time. Hopefully not just at cons, but if that's the way it has to be, that's good enough for me because I want to meet you and hang out and have fun because that's what it's all about. We're all here to have a good time. So once more, thank you to everyone. Thank you to the staff at TotalCon, the vendors, the industry guests, the attendees, everyone I named and anyone who I've forgotten to name, but meant to, and most importantly, I have to give a huge thank you to my beautiful, wonderful, and amazing, loving, and friendly wife, my love of my life, because she said, Jonathan, go to this and have fun, and she let me borrow her MacBook so I could live blog and do some live recording there. I had a blast, and knowing that she was cool with it and everything, just it made it that much easier for me to have a good time. Hopefully next year I can do the same, and as I've told Angela over at TotalCon, for as long as I am physically and mentally and financially able to, I will be coming to TotalCon for the rest of my life, hopefully to podcast about it or whatever comes after podcasting and blog and whatever comes after that, but to cover it and have fun and game and do cool stuff for as long as they are willing to have me. It is the one convention, perhaps, I look forward to the most, which might be a little odd because I don't actually game at it. I game at Huzzah. Havoc, I did not, but I would like to. But at TotalCon, I go not to game. I go to see the panels and to hang out with people and just chill. I played some board games with Wayne and Ben and Jen, but overall, I don't really play games. I observe and I chat and I see people, and apparently I drink now when I go and stay there, but I don't play games. So it might seem a little odd that I love it so much, but I do. I love TotalCon so much, and they do such a fantastic job. I love a lot of other cons too. I love Huzzah. Huzzah is great for many different reasons, and I'll talk about that at another episode, but I love TotalCon, and I'm rambling now, so that means it's time to bring this podcast episode to a close. So you have been listening to Wargaming Recon episode 88, TotalCon 27. Be sure to see the show notes for this episode by going to wargamingforums.com/WR88. That's right, wargamingforums.com/WR88. We'd love to get some feedback from you. I'd love to talk to you. I always say, and it's true, that my favorite part of podcasting is communicating with you. And there are many different ways that you can communicate with us. You can do so on Facebook. That's wargamingforums.com/Facebook. You can do so on Twitter, wargamingforums.com/tweet. Or the show notes for this episode. Fantastic way to do it. Head over to the show notes. You can leave a comment on the blog. We see the comments. We reply to the comments and chat. You can also send us an email. That's right. The now old school way, as it so turns out, which is kind of weird. But you can send an email to cwfgamecast@wargamingforums.com. And I'll get the email. It'll be really cool. You can send me a voicemail. Leave me a voicemail. Call me 347-470-4263. That's right. 347-470-GAME. Leave me a voicemail. Tell me what you're thinking about this episode or what's going on in your life. Or you can use your iPad, your iPhone, your iOS device, or your computer to go to wargamingforums.com, and you can send a voicemail without even using your phone. You don't have to dial in any numbers. We use this program called SpeakPipe. There's a little tab on the right side of the page. You click on it. It allows you to leave a little voice message for me. Like I said, you can do it on your iPad, your iPhone, or on your computer. It costs you nothing. Just some of your time, and we get that. And maybe if you guys start leaving some cool or interesting, or if you just start leaving some voicemails, whether it's that way or by calling 347-470-4263, I'd love to be able to play some of those here on the show. So I would love to hear from you, and feel free to go ahead and do it. I've done it in the past and had some people who have left voicemails. Adam of the Fencing Frog blog over at Blogger has done that and put them up, and I believe Adrian has as well. So I'd love to get some audio content from you. Put your voice here on Wargaming Recon. We're already sharing your comments and your pictures and what you're doing at our Facebook page, and love to get your voice here on wargamingforums.com in the show Wargaming Recon. So without further ado, we're going to start doing our usual stuff. You can hear our credits and hear about the other shows in the Troll in the Corner podcast network, because if you like Wargaming Recon, chances are you're going to like some of the other shows in the network. There's my show, Geeks Explicitly. You can also get Indie Talks and Growing Geeks, which are hosted and co-hosted by Ben Gerber and Tristan Tarwater. You can get the one and only Brett Newell's show, Monsters of the Shattered World, which is starting again for season 2. I'm so excited because I love Brett's show and it's fantastic. But before we get all of that, I have to play a promo for you because I am so excited about it. It's a promo for the Con Men podcast. I told Blix that I was going to be getting this up on my shows, partly because it's a great podcast and you really need to listen to it, and partly because I am just very thankful of the time he spent with me and the cool stuff that we got as a result of being on Cupid Death and just all sorts of cool stuff. And partly because, like I said, it's a cool podcast and you really should listen to it. I'm not going to be getting to all these cons that he talks about. I'm only going to be able to get to a few select cons like TotalCon and Havoc and Huzzah. But listening to the Con Men podcast makes it feel like I'm at those other cons. Kind of like watching a movie or a documentary, reading a book. It transports you. It's fun. It's funny. So I can't say enough great things about the Con Men podcast. And that's why we're going to have that promo for you right here. And then the credits and all that kind of stuff and the promos for the Troll in the Corner podcast network. So this has been episode 88 of Wargaming Recon. We're inching ever closer to that episode 100. Well, you know the drill. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt, and until next time, keep on gaming!
If you go to conventions, then you need to check out the Con Men podcast. We cover cons across the nation and bring you the inside scoop of where to stay, how much it's going to cost you, and what not to miss. We also interview guests, record events, and talk about successful conning in general. Check us out at conmenpodcast.com and find us on Facebook, YouTube, and iTunes. Let our team of convention experts be your wingman so your next convention is as awesome as it can be. And we'll see you at the con.
Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network. If you enjoy Wargaming Recon, you might enjoy some of the other shows on the network. So here's the lineup. Every Wednesday is a new episode of Indie Talks with Ben Gerber. Ben is the owner of Troll ITC, and on Indie Talks, he covers independent games, movies, television. He performs interviews with guests, gives reviews, and much more. He claims it's a bi-monthly podcast, but actually, you can get a new episode every Wednesday. Geeks Explicitly is a show I co-host with my buddy Drew McCarthy. We release new episodes every Thursday covering all aspects of geek life. Look for reviews, interviews, and much more. Of course, Wargaming Recon is a bi-monthly historical and New England gaming podcast featuring interviews, reviews, convention coverage, giveaways, and much more. Then, Gamertunes, another show I do, is a bi-monthly gaming music podcast where you can find music to play in your games, or when you're just chilling with your gaming buddies. All music on the show is either free, freely available via the Creative Commons, or artists have given me permission to play it. You can check Gamertunes twice a month. Finally, Monsters of the Shattered World is a monthly podcast hosted by Brent Newhall. Brent is one of the other editors at trollitc.com. Monsters of the Shattered World is a story-type podcast just like the old Sherlock Holmes radio. If you like any of these, or you just want to see what's going on, please head over to trollitc.com. Be sure to click on the Troll in the Corner Podcast Network logo.
This is Andreas, Apprentice of the White Order. I would like to invite you to listen to my letters, a humble collection of my observations of the various beautiful and very, very dangerous creatures that inhabit my world. I hope you enjoy it as part of the Monsters of the Shattered World on Troll in the Corner at trollitc.com.
Hey there, this is Ben Gerber from Troll in the Corner, and I'd like to invite you to listen to my podcast, Indie Talks. Indie Talks is a discussion about independent publishing, where we take a look at indie games, the people who write them, and the people who play them. We're going to branch a little farther afield as well and talk to some independent television and movie stars and creators, as well as crafters, all of who are related to gaming in some way, shape, or form. So please join me on the Troll in the Corner Network at trollitc.com and give Indie Talks a listen.
Geeks Explicitly. New episodes coming at you every Thursday. Talking about geek life. If you don't listen to Geeks Explicitly, then only at trollitc.com.
Hi, this is Tristan.
And this is Ben.
And this is Growing Geeks, a podcast where we talk about parenting as geeks
and use our skills to raise the next generation of awesome people.
We all started out as a ball of lightning. And we'll all end up as ammonium chlorine. Somewhere in between we'll rule the world. Yeah, somewhere in between we'll rule the world. And we're gonna go down, gonna go down slow. Gonna go down where the flowers grow. Down, down, down where a meatball
falls. Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the Troll in the Corner Podcast Network. visit www.trollitc.com for more information. This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike 3.0 license. Look for Wargaming Recon online at www.wargamingforums.com. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Stitcher Radio. You can learn more about this episode by reading the show notes on our blog. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Thank you for listening, and keep on gaming.
If you heard it and you do like it, good. If you don't like it, what I'm supposed to do.